Only 300 left to go. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every show will be offered completely commercial-free. And we only need 300 more subscribers. So please, go to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, philosopher queens, poets, prophets, working class heroes, Republican losers, Republican liars, cheaters, the worst. The worst, Mark Riley. They are the worst. They know that the only way they can even come close to fighting in this election is to cheat and lie and steal and tear up Democrat voter registration forms. After, like, Fire Truck Kerry comes out last night, extinguishes the fire of crap that comes out of the leader of the free world's mouth, outside of the little glob of spit that he couldn't seem to get out of the corner of his mouth. I think that was because right before he got on, he did a freeze. You know, it's like, hey, don't take the mirror. Wait, come here.
Oh, here we go again.
The leftover powder just over the top of it. You know how you used to do that when you put a little bit of Coke over your gums, right? And he left a little bit.
Does that stop your jaw from convulsing?
No, that's a mental thing.
Oh,
the dude lost. The AWOL blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult went down last night. Every question. Could not answer the question. All he could say is, education. We're working for education.
No child left behind. No child left behind.
The only domestic policy he could go to in a default situation was one that was underfunded and failing because of his administration's policies. It was genius. The guy's got nothing. He's got nothing, Riley.
He's going through the motions. I'm convinced that on some level, Karl Rove wrote off the results of this debate before it even happened. I think Rove has already moved on to figure out exactly what kind of trick he can play between now and Election Day. They've kind of wrapped and tied the debates. So I'm thinking of maybe an Orange Plus terror alert, the finding of Osama bin Laden.
Man.
Or let's see, is there anything else that he could pull
off?
Yes,
yes. And, you know, allowing something to happen in this country that would distract the elections to the point where people won't go out and vote. God knows the horrible things that could happen. God knows what these guys are capable of. They've obviously subcontracted all sorts of voter fraud already. This group, this voter, what is it called? Voter outreach. The voter outreach in Oregon, Arizona, and Nevada, the same group that was headed off by Sproul and Associates, a Phoenix-based consulting organization that was hired by the Republican National Committee earlier this year, is now being nailed because an employee accused them. This is a voter registration group that claimed to be a sort of a nonpartisan, come on, we're going to register you, we're a voter outreach program. We're ripping up, throwing away Democratic voter registration forms. They were called on it by an employee. Of course, they dismissed the employee as being bitter or disgruntled or whatever, but this is the subcontracting of Karl Rove, without a doubt.
No, this is some smoking gun stuff here, because the employee specifically says, look, I saw my supervisor pull Republican registrations to one side and throw the Democratic registrations in the trash. There are also allegations that people have been doing that because they're being paid for Republican registrations and not for Democratic registrations.
Always claiming sour grapes. That's the only excuse these dummies have, the Republicans who are defending themselves. It's like, well, that guy must have been disgruntled. Paul O'Neill, Secretary of the Treasury. Yeah, he had an axe to grind. No, he didn't. He was a smart person in the administration of a narrow-minded religious fanatic idiot. You know what I mean? DeLulio, the guy who was in charge of
the faith-based initiatives, the guy who resigned because it was not compassionate conservatism that he saw.
Yeah, the armies of compassion are on the march. Is that what? Freedom is on the march. The armies of compassion are doing what they need to do with the faith-based initiatives. Yeah, they're issuing the cross armbands that are going to go right beneath the Ten Commandment patch. Yeah, right beside the marksmanship awards for killing gay people. That's what the future is. These guys are fascists. And he was playing to a base of people. Did you notice that when Bush was talking last night that, like, you know, Kerry sort of engages with the standard sort of weird political hand movement, you know,
yeah,
where you got the thumb halfway up and you sort of throw your fist in the air a little bit. That's, you know, that's politic hand movement 101.
That's senatorial.
Now, Yeah, exactly, senatorial. That's good. But Bush is doing this other thing where he bounces the palm off the podium. That's a preacher's trick. Bush is being coached by preachers on how to pander, to secretly pander to his weird, fanatical, marginalized base. You know, he was bouncing his hand off trying to make a point. The feeling, the power of the Lord going through me. You know how they do that? You know
how they do
that?
Yeah.
It's a trick. These guys have tricks. And he was speaking to those people. He dropped a couple jokes that fell flat because they were to his base, which is a marginalized, weird minority group of people that are fanatically pro-Bush because of delusional reasons, and they are mobilizing millions like them to vote for this guy, but they are a minority, and they are wrong.
Did you see the point where Schieffer asked him about his faith? And Bush went into this long, very convoluted answer. I was afraid somebody's going to walk up on stage and he was going to cure them, like in one of those faith-healing tent things.
Well, that's how he's been doing his stump speeches now. If you watch footage from the stump speeches, you know, where he's out and moving around. He did it a little bit in the last debate, but, you know, he's really too coked up to figure out, you know, to really come clear.
I think
you know, he was shot up with some sort of weird amphetamine, you know, cocaine extracted, something. Yeah, I don't think he's doing blow, but I think that clearly there's a Dr. Nick, not unlike Elvis, not like anybody who is in power has on call all the time, whether it's vitamin B12 shots, I don't know. All I'm saying is that I'm willing to bet, whether it's Wellbutrin, I don't know what it is, but this president is on some sort of pharmacological medication in order to keep him focused.
Like the essence of UPS, is that what you're trying to say?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that it's illegal. I'm just saying that the guy's medicated. Without a doubt in my mind, he's medicated. His pupils were bugged out. His eyes were dilated. You know, his jaw was going a little bit again. And the truth of the matter is what you watch when you watch President Bush as opposed to John Kerry. John Kerry is a guy who has worked within the political structure and understands how politics works for a long time. He speaks with wisdom. He speaks with a guy who has experience. He speaks about issues first-handedly because he's helped to legislate a lot of things. So he understands things. When you watch Bush, what you're seeing is a guy who crammed. You're seeing a guy who stayed up all night getting this stuff in his head, and he's very tickled with himself when he can hit the right talking point all the way through without screwing it up.
Did you know notice that a couple of his numbers had increased since the last debate? Like, I think in the second debate, he said that the country had created 1.7 million new jobs.
Right.
Last night, it was 1.9 million new jobs. So I don't know where the extra 200,000 came from in a week, but I suppose that's presidential Republican magic.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's all playing into sort of him hitting education over and over again, is that he's just showing that he's got some capacity to do math, or at least he has someone on his staff that does, and it's faulty math. He kept throwing around words to indict Kerry. Not words, but numbers. Like, you know, this senator has voted 9 million times against this.
Yeah.
9 million times. 9 million votes. You know, or he'll see.
I counted every one of them.
Trillion. He used trillion a lot. That's going to cost $1 trillion. My plan's only going to cost $1 trillion. So, it's like this number game where, because some of his base followers are literally so narrow-minded, so uneducated, and so delusional, that all they can really respond to is like, well, see, clearly that's a high number, and if Kerry's responsible with a high number, and the high number is what Bush says is bad, then that's too much.
But see, that's the thing. He, if there's one skill George W. Bush showed in this debate last night, it was the ability to shift the question, to refocus virtually every direct question he was asked by Bob Schieffer to something that he could very easily and compactly try and throw at John Kerry. And when it came to abortion, and Bob Schieffer asked him directly about Roe versus Wade, he said, well, that's really about the judges. That's really about the Supreme Court justices. So he didn't have to say, yes, I will work against Roe versus Wade, which is what his position actually is.
But he didn't have to away say that.
Yes.
But he spoke in code to the people that care about that stuff. To the people that can't see past their economic problems, you know, that as being, you know, Republican policy-based problems.
They don't see that.
They
a lot of people don't see these things as being Republican-based. They don't see these policies as being detrimental to them. And Mark, for the life of me, I cannot figure out why.
And I was so proud of John Kerry last night because, like, you know, we have been hard on Kerry in the past in terms of, like, we all think we want him to say things a certain way. We think that he did this. We think that he did that. He put the energy in the wrong place. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. A lot of that went on, you know, early on in the campaign. But now he's clear. He's focused. He's speaking to the American people. And you know what? I had a problem with the way he handled the abortion question in the last debate. And this time he just came out and said it. I'm pro-choice. That's it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's it.
You know what else he did that was very, very smart? Bush, as you very correctly point out, speaking to the base, what John Kerry did last night was address two issues of critical importance to the black communities of the United States. One was affirmative action, and then he talked about the New York City black male unemployment rate, which I think surprised a lot of people. He would say 51% of black New Yorkers, black male New Yorkers are unemployed, and that's a problem that needs fixing.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, and it's great that he's reaching out to the black people, because that's something we talked to people about, and they didn't feel that he was reaching out, and I think he did a little bit.
Yeah, and they wanted, I think a lot of black people wanted to hear a very specific solution to black issues during the course of these debates. They didn't hear it during the first two. There were some very, you know, very general things that obviously impact black people. Health care, education, all these things impact black people. But specific answers about affirmative action, which George W. Bush avoided,
yeah,
by the way.
He called him on it. I mean,
yes.
Kerry called Bush on it. Not only did he call him that, he called him on Osama bin Laden. And we're going to show you where Bush is a heinous liar and a cheater. It's 16 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
There's only one movie between now and Election Day that's required viewing. The only film that will make you truly understand what's happening inside the White House. It will frighten you. It will infuriate you. It will tell you all you need to know about the stream of misinformation spewing from the White House. It will introduce you to the Svengali puppet master who's really running the country, the co-president of the United States. It's the only film that tells you who's really behind the dirt and deception in the campaign. There's one film you need to see before November 2nd. The name of the film? Well, we can't tell you that. The government won't allow us. Let's just say it's called W's Brain. The President's Brain. Oh, you know, Bush's Brain. Call 1-800-750-4856 and order now, or go to www.airamericaradio.com. That's 1-800-750-4856 or airamericaradio.com. Isn't it time you heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Straight from Bush's Brain.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL. 99 Steel.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Dominic.
This is J.C. Chazet, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference.
The voting booth. Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, all right?
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote. Vote.
We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net, or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
pull our drawings off the walls, put it all in the garbage, throw it away, throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Here comes John Kerry. That's right, man. He did it, man. There were moments at 21 past the hour, almost 22 past the hour. If you care, I'll tell you right when it is. There it is, 22 past the hour. How are you, Mark Riley?
I'm doing great because Bush was the subject of what they would say in the community was a beatdown.
Yeah, you know what's beautiful, though? There were actual moments. Like, you know, I'm a skeptical guy. You know, it's hard for me to, you know, not be critical of even our guys. You know, that's the way liberals are. That's the way we are. You know, we're sort of like we want it to exactly the way we want it. We want them to say exactly what, you know, we want them to say. But, man, there was a moment last night, and I don't even know when it happened, but it happened twice, where I felt emotionally connected to John Kerry, and I felt that I could, you know, I believed him. I believed that he would be a great president. And I hadn't had to this point, outside of the, you know, when he did the acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention, where there was just a little nuance about his personality where I really felt, you know, a genuine admiration for the guy in a way that was emotionally connected. And I'm not saying I'm in love with him.
I hope not.
But I'm saying that I respect him, and I think he'd be a good president. Maybe I'm in love with him, but there's nothing wrong with that.
I think what we're seeing, Mark, is a metamorphosis of John Kerry through these three debates. To the point that this, you know, during the course of this third one, he really did work at connecting through the camera with people. You know, when people look in cameras sometimes, they get that deer in the headlights sort of thing, or they look like they're faking it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're looking in the camera on purpose because they're trying to give the impression they're connecting with the American people. Well, John Kerry didn't give that impression last night. He gave the impression that he was, in fact, connecting with people by looking at the camera, which is a very different thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just love the fact that when Bush tried to connect through his, you know, sort of like not even self-deprecating sense, Kerry made a funny.
I mean,
he made a great funny about, you know, marrying up. You know what I mean? When Schieffer asked him about the women.
The strong women in his life, yeah.
You know, and he made a very, I was so glad the joke hit. You know, as a comic, you know, I know that feeling where it's like, oh, Kerry's going, he's going into joke land. And bam, it hits beautifully, you know, because people always think that, like, this guy doesn't, he doesn't laugh at himself enough. He's too serious. And believe me, I used to get that. You know, when I'm off stage, you know, because I take things very seriously, and I spend a lot of time in my head beating the crap out of myself, that, you know, people, when you're around people like that, they're like, dude, lighten up a little bit. It's not so heavy. Take it easy, for God's sake. And it was just so nice for Kerry to lighten the mood, and the joke paid off. Whereas Bush shot up a couple of jokes that were clearly aimed at his base, that were clearly aimed at the type of people that go to all of Bush's stump speeches because they're the only ones allowed in, that probably would have paid off for him. And what they did last night when he made the joke about news organizations.
Yeah.
What was that exact joke? News organizations are credible. But something like that. It was a reference to Dan Rather. It was a reference to the Killian memos. It was a reference to that. That I'm sure when he tried that joke with his base at his stump speeches, where he's pounding that podium like he's preaching the gospel.
They laughed and applauded.
Of course they did. But it fell flat last night because if those people were there, they knew that this was serious time. And there weren't many of them there. And the people that were laughing at home were the people that, you know, probably went to Fox and believed that this debate was won by George Bush somehow, which is crazy. This is another problem, right, Mark, with these people, these commentators who don't report.
Well, the commentators, see, we're going to get into this later on this morning, but the commentators are reporting stuff that helps the media make its own money. And the American people end up being the losers in this. But, you know, you talk about Bush, and you talk about how he typically tries to skirt around issues. He tried it with No Child Left Behind umpteen times last night. But he also has a very interesting skill at trying to diminish a charge made by John Kerry. There was an exchange last night that kind of typified this. This is about Osama bin Laden. Let's go to the exchange between Bush and Kerry last night.
6 months after he said Osama bin Laden must be caught dead or alive, this president was asked, where's Osama bin Laden? He said, I don't know. I don't really think about him very much. I'm not that concerned. We need a president who stays deadly focused on the real war on terror.
Mr. President.
Gosh, I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. That's kind of one of those exaggerations.
Oh, yeah?
How about this?
I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure. And, you know, again, I don't know where he is. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Really? Yeah. That doesn't sound like an exaggeration.
Now, that was March 13th, 2002, in a White House press conference.
That was, what, 6 months after 9/11? He's got that stupid monkey laugh?
Yep.
But, you know, what amazes me is the way he phrases things with that arrogant, condescending smugness that only plays to the minority of people that believe that Bush is some sort of messenger of God. The people that are too narrow-minded to take into context global policy, domestic policy, anything other than, you know, smug, bully policy. Do you understand? He just, of course, you understand. I don't know who I'm ranting to, but as I, you know, as long as I don't cedar it. But here we go. Look at it up. All right, anyway. But no, I'm kidding. I love Sam Cedar. But I am.
Oh, I thought you were imitating George Bush.
I am a little worked up, you know. But what I'm saying is that it was beautiful to see that smugness fall flat in the room.
Well, see, that's what happens when you are in a debate situation and you don't have sycophants in your audience who are going to applaud and you know, dwell on everything that you say. Bush really is not comfortable, and that's why I really think that they are prepared, the campaign team. I'm sure Bush took the debate seriously. I'm sure he prepared. I'm sure he did all the stuff he normally does. But I think that the campaign team, and specifically Karl Rove, has moved beyond it, and they're trying to figure out this morning how they're going to try and blunt this momentum that Kerry has built up now over the course of three debates.
We're going to call him on some crap here in a minute with Paul Waldman, the author of Fraud, The Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. It's his job, you know, to
analyze this stuff.
Yeah, to analyze whether Bush is lying and what the fact check, doing the fact checking is coming up.
That's right. Yeah. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
The president's palm pilot. I think I hear Ramon outside. And of course, the all important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio.
There is a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we are a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system originally available only for use by therapists is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It doesn't use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It's a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you are tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's www.theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to register for our totally unique service.
Hey, Sarah, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ashley wants to clean up his credit. I'll show him how to do it after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Ashley emails wanting help cleaning his credit. How does one go about establishing a good credit rating once they have a bad rating due to credit card use in college that could not be dealt with at the time? The first thing you've got to do is go back and clean up those bad debts. Call one of them once you have some money saved, settle with that one or pay them, and get in writing that it's settled and get it reported to the credit bureau that the bad debt has now been settled or been made good. Once you have done that, that entry on your credit bureau report will remain there for 7 years, but it will not count against you for purposes of buying a home, but about 3 or 4 years. So you need to do that as your very first step. You've got to clean up the bad debt that you've got back there and then let some time elapse. Do not go and borrow money to, quote, build your credit. That is one of the great lies passed around in our culture today. And this is what a lot of people do, and they end up with high interest rates and getting ripped off.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
That's right. Here comes John Fire Truck Kerry. Hey, Prez, was that an exaggeration? What about Osama bin Laden?
I don't know. I just don't spend that much time on him.
Oh.
And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
Oh? No? Huh.
And,
no?
You know, again, I don't know where he is.
It's not important to you.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
No, that seems weird. Well, it should be important.
Now, he wasn't talking about you.
No, he's talking about Osama bin Laden.
Okay. You sure?
I'm absolutely.
Because you may be at the center of a command structure.
I am absolutely at the center of a command structure. I've named myself Kim. King.
King.
How about Kim? Kim's good, too. I'll name myself.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my wife's name.
My
wife now.
That'd be weird.
Hey,
no, I am not the wife in this relationship. We are both husbands here.
Thank you.
We are two husbands together in a professional marriage. This is getting weird.
Ooh.
Hey, fraud. The strategy behind the Bush lies and why the media didn't tell you is written, is the book by, oh yes, wait.
Yes.
You know what?
I forgot.
Yeah, because he'll be very upset with you.
Hold on a minute. Sorry, Ramon. Dude, if you didn't walk in the middle of me introducing a guest, maybe you'd know. All right. Sorry, Paul. Just hang on a second. Ramon just gave me the palm title. Here we go. Here's the president's schedule today. Wake up. Wipe fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. 7:30 a.m. Ritual burning of John Kerry debate dummy. Note, debates are over. Don't have to think again until... Ask Carl when I have to think again. 8 a.m. Review media coverage of debates. Wipe fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. 1:35 p.m. Speak at rally, Reno, Nevada. Ask mayor if it would be all right to shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die. 2 p.m. While in Reno, try to get quickie divorced from reality. 6:10 p.m. Speak at rally, Central Point, Oregon. Note, no questions, no rebuttals, just relax and let the speech give itself. 6:12 p.m. White fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. Declare war on spittle. 10 p.m. bedtime, lights out. Finally relax. Remember, in the dark, nobody can see you drool. There you go. Now, the author of Fraud, The Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. He is a chronic fact checker for a living, and he's here to revel in the debates, as we're doing now. Good morning, Paul Waldman.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, hey, pretty good. So what did you see? What were the biggest lies?
Well, you've already been talking a lot about the Osama bin Laden lie, which is so delicious because, you know, everyone has that videotape and you've already played it. I counted about a dozen different ones.
Oh, good.
We can run down a few of them. Obviously, there's a bin Laden one.
Yeah.
Bush said that he signed the Homeland Security bill, but Kerry was voted against it. That's actually not true.
Right.
First, Kerry supported the alternative, the Democratic alternative for the Homeland Security bill, but he did, in fact, vote for the final one that passed. Bush said that he makes this claim about how defensive medicine costs $60 to $100 billion a year, and that if we limited people's ability to sue for malpractice, then that would just solve all the problems in the healthcare system. Well, the Government Accounting Office and the Congressional Budget Office say that those figures are basically bogus. The kind of limits that Bush is proposing on liability would only reduce the health care cost by around 1% or less.
Now, Paul, we need to be clear that the GAO and the CBO are both nonpartisan organizations.
Exactly. They're set up by the government, and they're supposed to be nonpartisan. And they've done very careful studies of these. So, let's keep going down the list.
Well, clearly, that his whole health plan, his whole vision for health plan is completely skewed to benefit pharmaceutical companies and HMOs.
Exactly, and you know, the times when Kerry and Edwards have been very effective on this question has been when they've put it in terms of, you know, who do you trust? And the basic idea behind the Bush plan is that you have to take away people's ability to hold doctors accountable, to hold HMOs accountable, and, you know, just sort of trust that they're going to do the right thing.
Under the guise of saying that, you know, that malpractice suits are what is making health care so expensive, which is a lie.
Exactly.
Right. It's actually because HMOs are privately owned corporations, pharmaceutical companies are corporations, and when they are in trouble, they raise the prices of their services.
Yes, and the real cause, it's true that malpractice insurance has increased in recent years, but the real cause of that isn't the fact that there are a lot of lawsuits. The real cause is that insurance companies make most of their money from their investments in the stock market and the bond market. And in the late 1990s, the stock market went down, interest rates were low, so they weren't making money in the bond market, and as a consequence, their profits were down, so they increased their premiums. And there have been studies that have gone around and shown states where they have put caps on liability, and it hasn't reduced malpractice premiums.
And I have to assume that on some level, I'm getting off on healthcare here, because for some reason it struck me as very important that, you know, this stuff become clear last night, is that it seems to me that malpractice insurance for doctors has to go up because HMOs can, you know, they work in sort of a chronic state of triage. They are able to determine, you know, what things doctors can do just based on their bottom line. So that puts doctors in a sort of, you know, a strange, vulnerable position.
Sure, and they're always going to be, to a certain extent, at the mercy of their insurers. But the idea that there's this sort of one-to-one connection between how many lawsuits, you know, doctors are faced with and what their insurance rates are is not true. And it also doesn't have anything to do with the actual doctor and how dangerous they are. That's another interesting fact. And this is something that actually you can lay at the doctor's door themselves. that most lawsuits go to a relatively small portion of doctors. There are a few kind of bad doctors out there who get sued again and again and again for malpractice, but the medical community doesn't take any action against them. It's almost impossible to lose your license to practice medicine, no matter how many people you injure or maim. And that's one thing that the doctors, the medical community is unwilling to do, is really go after those bad doctors. And if they did that, the amount of malpractice claims would go way down.
Paul, I'm curious about the jobs creation part of the debate last night. It seemed to me that President Bush said that he had created 1.9 million jobs on his watch. That seemed to be a higher figure than he had even claimed in the previous two debates. Am I wrong about that?
Well, they're now counting from 13 months, I think. And it's important to remember that the economy needs to create 150,000 jobs a month just to keep up with the increases in population. So if you create 150,000 jobs in a month, then you're treading water. You haven't gone, jobs haven't become harder to find, and they haven't become easier to find. So for instance, last month, the economy created 96,000 jobs. Now that looks like a plus, but it's actually a minus of, 54,000 jobs. So over the last, year, he's been about treading water. If you multiply that out. So, you can say, well, in this amount of months we created this much, but the attack that Kerry makes over and over and over is still true. He's still going to wind up with a net negative jobs despite all the increases in population that we've had over the last 4 years. So jobs are becoming much more scarce. There's a lower proportion of the population that is employed. So, he can sort of cut and paste a little bit, this month, that month, 13 months, this many jobs in that many months, but the net is that he still has lost jobs on his watch.
Now, Paul, I just wanted to ask you quickly in terms of the jobs. I just spaced my question because what were you going to say, Riley?
No, I was curious about at one point when they talked about increasing the minimum wage. Kerry said he was for it and he was very specific, but then Bush said, "Well, I voted for Mitch McConnell's bill on increasing the minimum wage, and I have no idea, Paul, what was included in McConnell's bill on the minimum wage."
Well, you don't, because it's kind of something that's never going to come to a vote, probably. Nobody's ever going to care about. So it's easy for him to say, "Oh, yeah, I support this bill that is kind of gathering dust on a shelf somewhere." That bill actually allows states to opt out. So if, say, Texas decides, "Well, we don't really want to increase our minimum wage," they can do that. Completely hollow, and so it doesn't cost Bush anything to say, "Oh yeah, I support this bill," but that's never going to have any chance of becoming law. But the fact is, it's like, as in many areas when it comes to legislation, Bush can say, "I support something," but if he doesn't actually do anything about it, then it's pretty obvious that he doesn't really support it. And that's the case with the assault weapons ban, too. He kind of tries to play it both ways in this, saying that he supports extending the assault weapons ban, but then when it comes to time to actually do something about it, he sends a very unequivocal message to the Republicans in Congress. I say I'm for this, but don't really bother doing anything about it.
Right, that's the way politics works. Now, what I wanted to ask you was, I remember it was about, he kept going back to education. He kept going back to No Child Left Behind. And from all the evidence we've seen, and I'd like to double check with you, I mean, this is an underfunded program that's failing, yet it was his default, answer to almost anything that wasn't going his way was education. He was basically saying when jobs came up, he said, "Well, if people are educated, they'll know exactly why they don't have a job." But I don't know exactly, why he kept going back to this, because it is a failed domestic policy. Am I wrong?
The reason he keeps going back to it is because people always say that he feels most comfortable when he's talking about education, and he sounds compassionate, and it's something that he's genuinely concerned about, so he's comfortable talking about it. And that's, I think, why he kept going back to it. But, for years, Republicans complained about unfunded mandates when the federal government would say to the states, "You have to do X, Y, and Z, but we're not going to give you the money to do it." Well, No Child Left Behind is one of the biggest unfunded mandates. They provided some money, but they imposed on basically every public high school in America this mandate now to test students grade after grade after grade, and that costs a lot of money. Forget about the effects it has on what kind of an education you're getting when it's all just test prep. But they didn't.
And that's something Bush can relate to, though, Paul. I mean, that's all he does is cram. He doesn't really know anything.
Well, it's a good analogy. you know, it's one of those things where you go into the test and you regurgitate some of it, and then it's you forget it the next day.
Exactly. We got to go, Paul. We got to go. We got to move on. We got to take a break. And I really appreciate talking to you. You helped me out a lot here. You helped our listeners out a lot. The book is Fraud: Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. Paul Waldman, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks, okay. Paul.
Take care. Why don't you give us a call, folks, 866-303-2270. Tell us what your favorite points of the debate were. Reflect a little bit. Excitement, anger, whatever you got. I know it's early, but I sense some of you are either thrilled or seething out there, and we want to hear from you. 866-303-2270. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio. You want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
The Iraq War has become such a mess that even U.S. soldiers are speaking out against it. Mother Jones reports in its new issue that 54% of military households now oppose the war, and that the GI Rights Hotline gets thousands of calls a month from soldiers who want to leave the military. Marine Mike Hoffman started Iraq Veterans Against the War after deciding he'd been lied to by the administration while thousands of soldiers died. Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey, a Marine since 1992, started speaking out against the bloodshed after his unit killed 30 civilians in 2 days for misunderstanding hand signals at roadblocks. Now back at home, he protests with a sign that says, "I killed innocent civilians for our government." Some soldiers are now fleeing to Canada to seek refugee status. As one military leader critical of the war puts it, the most basic tool a soldier needs on the field is a reason to be there. Unfortunately, this tool was left out of their toolkit, and soldiers are dying for a war they can't support. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. And we've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'll do it
on TV. Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady. And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joined Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Love you, baby.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at ASHA.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
The 2000 presidential election was decided by only 537 votes. On November 2nd, your vote can make a tremendous difference. Take the first step to ensure that your voice is heard. Register. JustVote.org is a nonprofit organization where you can register online quickly and easily. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's your democracy. Make it work. JustVote.org.
That's right, 51 past the hour. Morning's edition, I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hey!
You're listening to Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Jim in Bridgeport, Connecticut, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I'm pretty
good.
Hey,
what's up, Jim? You're from one of my favorite cities.
Hey, man, are you from Beepo, for real?
I marched in the Bridgeport BAL Cadets. Is that real enough for you?
you're doing a great, you're making us proud.
Well, thanks a lot, man.
Maron, wasn't it great when Bush tried to tell his joke about Kerry being the liberal senator for Massachusetts in the deafening
nothing,
silence?
Nothing. He got nothing.
I was groaning like, oh, my God. But my favorite moment was when Schieffer asked Bush, he goes, you know, what would you tell a guy who lost his job to an outsourced, you know,
guy?
He goes, I'd send him to community college.
Yeah, and Jim, let's hear it. We got it.
We got that specific part of the debate.
We're going to play it again, so you keep laughing, Jim. Thanks for calling us.
What do you say to someone in this country who has lost his job to someone overseas who's being paid a fraction of what that job paid here in the United States?
I say, Bob, I've got policies to continue to grow our economy and create the jobs of the 21st century. And here's some help for you to go get an education. Here's some help for you to go to a community college.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
There are people with 3 degrees out there who are overeducated that know more than Einstein and can't get work in this economy. Unbelievable. Community college will help you out. That's good. If you screwed up in high school, maybe there's hope for you still. That, I mean, what does that mean?
You can become a massage therapist, man. Six months.
Well, that's, Robert Reich believes there's a whole economy in physical therapy and in creative advertising, and there's a whole new sort of self-focused, self-actualized industries that haven't been realized yet.
Well, so does Dick Cheney. Cheney says you can make money off of eBay, remember?
Yeah, well, I don't want to put Robert Reich in there.
I know. But Cheney, I mean, when Cheney was asked the same kind of question, that was Cheney's response. Well, you know, people are making all kinds of money doing things on eBay.
Well, those are the kind of jobs they create, these weird temporary jobs that don't have any health coverage, don't last long, but, you know, pay minimum wage, you know, if that. If they could, they would list under the table jobs as job creation. If they could. And George Bush said another thing last night. He said, quote, people need to remember 6 months prior to my arrival, the stock market started to go down, and it was one of the largest declines in history. Now, let me just give you these numbers. A day before Bush's inauguration, the Dow closed at 10,587.59. The NASDAQ closed at 2,770.38. On the day of the debate yesterday, the Dow closed at 10,002.33. So that's down like 300-400 more
from when he went in there.
Down 586 point, I'm sorry, 585.26.
See, I need to get an education. Maybe I ought to listen to the president. I can't do the basic math. The NASDAQ closed at 1,920.53. That's like 7,800. What's the number on that one?
849.85, down more than 30%.
You got a good head for this stuff.
Let's take another call.
I just read well.
I was trying to create an illusion.
I know, but hey.
All right, Marguerite, Portland, Maine, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Marguerite.
I watched the debate last night, obviously. I thought Kerry did a great job again. One thing that struck me at Bush was when the discussion of abortion was raised.
Yeah.
And he talked about not having a litmus test for judges.
Right.
And I thought, I wish Kerry had said to him, now wait a minute, a minute ago you talked about gay marriage issue.
Yeah.
And how activist judges, you don't want to have activist judges in there. It's interesting that when it comes up to gay marriage, anyone that's pro-gay marriage ends up being activist in Bush's mind, but when it comes to abortion, suddenly he doesn't want to choose by ideology.
Right.
Which is, of course, ridiculous considering all his appointments far has been
absolutely
such right-wing extremist. It's just crazy. I wish Kerry had pointed it out, but I think he did a fantastic job for the third time.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for your call. You know, she's right, and of course there's a litmus test, you know, and what he's saying is BS, because that's how these people are picked. That's the whole way he's going to do this.
He wouldn't say, yes, I am not I'm in favor of Roe v. Wade, or no, I'm not in favor. And that was the question. The judge's thing was how Bush refocused the question. Well, no, it's not really about Roe versus Wade. It's about the judges.
Well, that's how he speaks in code to his religious extremist supporters that are only concerned with wedge issues, because they imply that this country is on some sort of slippery slope towards, gay marriage and freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. What's going to happen? It's the end of the world. Poor, frightened, cornered religious fanatics. Scary times, isn't it? What's going to happen to you people if Kerry wins? Oh, my God. You might have to open your minds.
Open your minds to realities that you might not be completely comfortable with, even if they don't pertain to you.
Imagine that. Tolerance.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, allowing dissent.
That's, oh.
What a concept.
Oh, you're creeping me out.
You're starting to scare me.
I'm getting really scared.
But hey, this is America. And John Kerry, I think, has made a really good case over the course of these three debates that there is a fundamental difference between the way he sees America and the way George W. Bush sees America. And at the polls on November 2nd, we'll see whose vision works best, at least as far as the electorate is concerned.
Absolutely, dude. This is great. All right, here comes the liberal agenda. It's always exciting to have one of these after the debates. Let's see what we got. All right, here are your marching orders for today. New nicknames for Bush: Old Spit Bubble, Saliva Boy, Slobbermouth, the Spitmeister, Dr. Drool, and the Slurpster. 2. Maybe start a healthy forest initiative for your underarm hair.
Oh,
good morning, San Francisco. 3. Demand that mattress manufacturers be held legally liable for all the Americans who die in their sleep. There's a lawsuit. 4. Support the Red Sox in the ALCS because Yankees smacks of imperialism. Support the Astros in the LACS and not the Cardinals because of the Catholic overtones. 5. Today's phrase. Just drop it into conversation. You know what causes all the drooling, don't you? Rabies. Actually, he should be put down, man. What do we got next hour there, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary. More on the debate with New Jersey Senator John Corzine. Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and later, my idol, Jerry Springer.
Jerry.
Air America Radio.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right. Good thigh guards. Now, don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put them in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean-looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult.
So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
You should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. In awe.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gelman, the Attorney General for the State of Oregon, is launching a criminal investigation against a political consulting firm working for the Grand Old Party. The legal action may be a move that other states may later consider if there's strong evidence of a conspiracy. Oregon AG's probe stems from charges that some working for the Sproul and Associates consulting firm of Phoenix, hired by the Republican National Committee, deliberately dumped applications of voters who signed up as Democrats in a recent voter registration drive. While the focus of the investigation is in Oregon, two other states in the West, Arizona and Nevada, are being looked at. Consulting firm conducted similar voter registration drives there, in which similar charges surfaced. Both Democrats and Republicans use paid consultants to register voters, but laws in most states require that they register and submit applications for any individual, regardless of party affiliation. In a somewhat related development, a former Republican Party operative in Nevada ran into a roadblock from election officials in the state. This after he tried to purge some 17,000 Democrats from the voter rolls in the battleground state. Both candidates remain in the dead heat in Nevada. Republicans there appear to be trying every tactic to gain an edge over John Kerry. Former head of the state Republican Party, Dan Burdish, filed a challenge last week, claiming Democrats should be removed from the rolls because they were inactive voters. State election officials dismissed the GOP leader's stance. Under Nevada state law, voters are placed on inactive status if they move and don't update their addresses within 30 days of receiving notice to do so. Still more reaction to last night's final presidential debate before the election. During a 90-minute exchange, John Kerry referenced Bush's alleged lack of concern about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden, once he was convinced Saddam Hussein was linked to terror in the United States. Here's Kerry, then Bush, during last night's debate.
6 months after he said Osama bin Laden must be caught dead or alive, this president was asked, where is Osama bin Laden? He said, I don't know. I don't really think about him very much. I'm not that concerned. We need a president who stays deadly focused on the real war on terror,
Mr. President.
I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. It's kind of one of those exaggerations.
Meanwhile, it's apparent that Bush suffered a memory lapse because 2 years ago during a White House news conference, he all but said bin Laden was the furthest thing from his mind.
I don't know where he is. I just don't spend that much time on him. And, again, I don't know where he is. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
President Bush 2 years ago and his take on bin Laden a year before the war in Iraq started. Scene in Iraq remains sobering with a half dozen more American lives lost in a suicide attack and a roadside bombing. The latest wave of violence prompted the Iraq's prime minister to issue an ultimatum to the insurgents. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball through my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jackie wants help getting her kids' college savings started. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jackie needs some help with college planning.
We have two kids who are under the age of 4. We've got savings bonds from grandmothers and every other relative. And we've got a little bit of money, a little less than $1,000 apiece. We're planning on setting up an ESA for them.
Mm-hmm.
But should we go ahead and do that now,
yeah,
even though we don't have that much?
Yeah.
Or
you can open a plenty of mutual funds for $1,000 and do $1,000 for this year in the ESA with money that's already laying there. And then when you get to baby step five, meaning you're out of debt, you have your emergency fund in place, and you've started your retirement, then you can start adding to those accounts.
Okay.
But go ahead and get them going, because those savings bonds and savings accounts aren't paying those anything for those little
things. No.
And let's go ahead and move that $1,000 into a good growth stock mutual fund and qualify it as an educational savings account. I would do that today, Jackie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
I got Invader Rock.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, prophets, poets, man children, women, girls, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, and of course, Republicans who are feeling a sense of loss today. They must be. And if they're not, maybe they're not, because many of them are delusional and narrow-minded and cannot see a reality in any way, shape, or form, because he lost. He went down. He was horrible. He kept defaulting on, you know, just going to education. What about jobs? Well, I think kids should learn things. You know, it kept going back to education. He had nothing. It was beautiful. The AWOL blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neoconservative death cult looked like a robot who was broken. His jokes tanked. Great. Love it. Playing to the base, nothing. Is this on? Yeah. Nothing.
You know what? That sounds like Morocco Mole. I can't remember what cartoon that's from, but yeah. he really does kind of that little laugh, that sort of, which has become, I think, his audio trademark as opposed to the scowl, which, you know, he
I know what self-laughter is. Sometimes I have it. I used to have it really bad. It's a device. It comes from tremendous insecurity. It comes from a deep place, a deep need to be accepted. Because if you're laughing at it, everyone else feels comfortable, and you're thinking that that's going to trigger them to laugh, and everybody's gizzling tight, Kayla.
Yeah.
That was great. That was a beautiful sneeze. Awesome. That felt satisfying. I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
You didn't slip your back out of anything.
I'm just
going to be so-so.
You know, I'm waiting for Bush to say, like, you know, I've got a solution to this outsourcing. I'm changing my policy. We're gonna call it Child Left Behind, and we're going to give those children jobs. We're giving jobs under the table. Anywhere from the age of 6 to 12 should be working, making shoes and stuff, right here in this country.
Could you imagine if Bush decided to create an underground economy just to make up the job numbers?
Well, you mean, isn't there already an underground economy?
I know, but I mean, suppose he decided...
It's called, what, Border Patrol?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, that's something that Bush doesn't really talk about a lot. There are large numbers of people, his people, the people that contribute to his campaigns, who live in Texas,
sure,
who in fact use huge numbers, sure, of, quote, illegal aliens. I hate that term, but that's what they
use. Oh, yeah, so all I know is that if this goes south, this job, I can always go to community college and turn my life around. Can we hear that, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, number 6. Did we lose it?
No, we didn't.
What would you say to someone in this country who has lost his job to someone overseas
who's being paid a fraction of what that job paid here in the United States.
I say, Bob, I've got policies to continue to grow our economy and create the jobs of the 21st century. And here's some help for you to go get an education. Here's some help for you to go to a community college.
Thanks, Mr. President.
And how did Fire Truck Kerry take it on?
I want you to notice how the president switched away from jobs and started talking about education principally.
Kapow! Ha ha! Eat that, dummy! Woo! Hey, coming up next, we got Senator John Corzine, the Democrat from New Jersey. We're going to talk to him about the debates. We're going to talk to him about the swing states. We're going to talk to him about New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's 10 after. It's Air America Radio.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Brought on for sustainability, Gary Kresge, founder of EcoSea Internet, explains.
We're giving people the opportunity to be green consumers, to invest in a company that is dedicated to environmental organizations.
Kresge, a graduate student of wildlife conservation, found he could be more effective by reaching out to the public online with a green ISP.
People can get involved, they can help protect the planet, they're getting online, which they're doing already, but putting their money into a good cause, helping the environment.
EcoSea donates 100% of its net profits to environmental groups.
So we give people different options. They can adopt an acre through the Nature Conservancy, or they can take ocean protection, and we'll give money to Oceana that's working throughout the world to protect our ocean.
Save a few clams with EcoSea.com. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s. Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Love you, Greg Brady.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's drugs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Yes. 15 past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
I love that track, man. It's good, Beyonce, man. Beyonce bounces through that. Yeah, I do mean bounce.
Got me. I didn't know what it was, but I'm kind of excited about it.
That's Jay-Z's old lady, man.
I got to hep myself to the new music.
You got to see the video, though. In this case, you got to see it. Anyway.
Another thing that one overlooked last night, apparently, was Mark Maron's appearance on Tough Crowds, because nobody here saw it. I didn't see it. Kalo usually, you know, comes in and's like, dude.
He's watching the ball game, man.
Going right now?
I hope so.
I don't know.
He called his old lady during the last break and said, hey, TiVo it, okay? I don't want to look stupid here.
I thought there was a couple good moments. I was on with that woman again, that Cheryl Underwood, that black.
Oh, the black conservative woman.
The black Republican. I had a good moment with her. Anyways, let's do this. I'm going to the therapist today. And you know what? It looks like it might be a good day from this dream last night. I'm looking up at a sparkling blue sky. I take a deep breath. Time and space have joined together harmoniously and stopped. All is one. I have a startling thought. Everything is perfect. I seem to have evolved into a higher version of myself, Mark 2.0. I look down. I look down in wonder at the golden sunshine on my hands. I can do anything. My guitar playing is magnificent. Not just technically dazzling, but a glorious realization of every guitarist before me. With it, I make myself and millions more weep. I can quote philosophers at will, for instance. Quote, I would say that deconstruction is affirmation rather than questioning, in a sense which is not positive. I would distinguish between the positive or positions and affirmations. I think that deconstruction is affirmative rather than questioning. This affirmation goes through some radical questioning, but it is not questioning in the field of analysis. Jacques Derrida. See, I can do that all day long, and not only that, I get it! I have encyclopedic knowledge of policy issues and can formulate elegant solutions to complex social problems that are both innovative and funny. People often read my white papers out loud to large groups who sit in the grass with picnic dinners, laughing, crying, and shaking their heads in awe and gratitude. The readings frequently end in mass hugs and reconciliation of old grudges. I can and do eat the most delicious chocolate ever made all day long. It has no calories and, in fact, heightens all five senses and gives me a freakishly intense sex drive. Robert Reich comes to me for economic advice. He calls me sensei. All my stray cats have loving, lavish homes and greet me with warm affection every time I come to visit. I get 10 to 12 hours of blissful sleep every night, which means I treat everyone I meet with alert, patient respect. My wife is by my side at all times. We never fight. Why would we? At work, any dissenting views are gently dismissed, and if someone harbors an unkind opinion of me, I embrace the wondrous diversity their opposition represents. I smell like lilacs. Somebody kill me. I wake up and my bed is filled with camel hair. Man. Oh, man, I need help. On the phone right now, Senator, the Democratic Senator from New Jersey, Chairman of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee to reflect on things Democratic. Good morning, Senator John Corzine. How are you?
Great, Mark.
Good morning, Senator. How you doing?
That was a heck of a reading.
Well, thank you very much. It comes from the deep realm of my unconscious.
The lilac part was really good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was surprising to me, but I do smell like lilacs today. It's weird. So, Senator Corzine, what do you think? The debate felt pretty good, huh?
Got a smile on my face, as a lot of Democrats do.
Yeah.
3-for-3 is a terrific result. Proud of John Kerry.
Yeah.
Is, strong. He was informed. I think he presented himself as a man who could be quite decisive as our president, and I think he put specifics out for the American people to understand what he's talking about on health care and jobs, a whole host of issues, and then I think that gives them hope and optimism that we can turn our economy around, make our society a more fair and open one.
Mm-hmm. Senator, do you think that the debate will affect Senator Kerry's poll numbers specifically in the state of New Jersey?
Well, in a place like New Jersey, I think strong debates, thoughtful answers on specifics on how he's going to deal with tough issues will be convincing. You know, the discussions that we've had about choice and the courts and his health care plan, which were really quite detailed but understandable to the public, I think will shore up the progressive vote in New Jersey. And that vote is there if it is spoken to straightforward, in a straightforward and clear manner. And John just did a great job of that last night.
Senator, New Jersey was not considered in play back in August, and suddenly it has become in play. Has Governor McGreevy's problems, and there are many, and he's getting ready to resign on the 15th of next month, have his problems impacted at all in Senator Kerry's level of support, in your judgment?
Well, I think there was a short-run hiccup in respect, if you will, for Democratic politics. He had a series of legal problems with donors and folks close to the party, and then the issue that surrounded the governor's resignation, I think, maybe shook confidence. I think more realistically, the heavy focus on the convention in our metropolitan area and in the broadcast zone around New York City, and which covers northern New Jersey, probably put a favorable spin on the president's campaign at that stage. Not particularly well challenged early on in late August and September. And I think the first debate made very clear to the American people and the people of New Jersey that there's a dramatic difference between these two candidates. There's one that understands the issues, is informed about the kinds of solutions that will work, and I think we've seen a major turnaround in the polls in New Jersey. I see John Kerry up by 8 points, and the margin's growing, and I expect him to win by double digits.
I think I got to ask you, Senator Corzine, for our friend Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, do you support Bruce Springsteen? Did you go see the shows?
That one I'll have to think about. Bruce Springsteen, I think, is represented the very best in New Jersey, and I'm glad to see him going across the country fighting to make sure that we have an America that's open for everyone.
Absolutely. And let's have, do you have any favorite moments in the debate where you were just like, yeah, John, do
well,
it?
Well, I like the Tony Soprano.
That was a good joke, right?
That was a good joke.
It's a little hard to turn your back on that one if you're a New Jerseyite.
Yeah,
true.
And since George Bush, you may or may not know, Mark, I was a banker for about 30 years, and the fact that this guy has made a literal mess out of our financial affairs in this country. The easy way is to say we went from $5 trillion surpluses to $3 trillion deficits. If I had that kind of negative cash flow in the bank I was running, I'd be looking for a job, and I think George Bush is going
to
be.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Can you explain something to me, though? This just came into my mind. Now, you have all these, like, he signed the Homeland Security bill, and he talked about that, the president did. But it's my understanding that a lot of the money that was supposed to go into Homeland Security has to go into other, you know, government spending because of the deficit. Is that true? How does that work?
Well, first of all, he didn't support the Homeland Security bill
initially.
Bill Lieberman and others initially introduced it, came around reluctantly, and tried to co-opt its origination as an idea. He did sign it. He hasn't put the money to adequately deal with so many of the areas of Homeland Security,
right?
Port security, air cargo, hot button in New Jersey, but really should be across the country, is chemical plants, are unguarded in many instances, and certainly held held with no accountability.
How about all those freight containers out there in Newark?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just a whole portfolio of things that need to be accomplished to make the American people feel safer and be safer, and this guy just hasn't put the money where his mouth is.
And where does the money go? If he's given tax cuts and everything else, where is all this money going?
I think we're the only generation that's fighting a war, and I don't think anybody among us believes that it's anything other than a war against those who would bring terror to the globe, not just to the United States, but around the globe. And we're cutting taxes, particularly focused on those that are already doing well. And it's just it's bizarre. And we need to be able to increase our investments in Homeland Security in those areas that I talked about. We need to have a health care plan that actually works and benefits everyone in America. And, you know, John Kerry has been just terrific in articulating that, and I think he's got a serious, credible plans on raising revenues that will allow us to do a better job on a whole host of issues, health care and Homeland Security.
Great.
Right at the top of the list.
Great.
Senator, you're in charge of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. You're one of the people that decides where funds are dispersed in key Senate races across the country. Which ones are you looking at? Where's the money going? Who do you think has a good shot at taking a Republican seat or taking an open seat?
Well, just as John Kerry is going to win on November 2nd, I believe in a very competitive world, very competitive set of races, we are going to take the Senate back 51-49. We have some tough, close races where we're leading right now, places like Alaska, which is not typically a Democratic state, Colorado, which has had two Republican senators most of the 90s, Oklahoma, you know, that's Tony Knowles in Alaska, is the former governor, Brad Carson in Oklahoma, and Ken Salazar in Colorado. Those are very key races. We need to win Florida just like John Kerry does. Betty Castor is doing extremely well, actually running maybe even a little bit ahead of Senator Kerry in Florida. We need to win in North Carolina. Erskine Bowles, who is former chief of staff of Bill Clinton, is in a very competitive race, but one that's very doable. We've got a number of races. Inez Tenenbaum in South Carolina is right at the finish line, very even. Lots of these races are within 2 or 3 points of being even, and so I hope everyone in your listening audience who's in those particular states get themselves registered and get everybody to the polls. Democrats can't afford to miss any of our potential voters in those areas. Those are distinct advantages, registration advantages by Republicans. And I want to mention one last race, and it's probably the most important. We have 14 incumbents standing for re-election this year. And the only one that really has a competitive race is Tom Daschle. Tom Daschle is one of the most decent individuals, I think, in the United States Senate. He's a great leader. We have a very complicated group of people, I can tell you, in the Democratic caucus to lead. He's held us together. We've provided a reasonable check and balance to the president, particularly in the last 18 months, 2 years. And he's been targeted, number one target of the Republicans, and some of the outlandish, ridiculous, over-the-line charges that they make about him, including challenges patriotism, is just unacceptable.
Yeah, that's what they do. Well, we'll reach out to the Democrats. We'll tell them to register. We've been pumping that all week in the last few weeks. Really appreciate you being here, Senator. Thanks for coming, and have a good day.
Take care, Senator.
Okay, take care. That was Senator John Corzine. What we got coming up? Oh, it's only the half hour, so we're coming back with your calls, right?
That's right. 866-303-2270. And when we come back, Rapture Watch, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and more here on Air America Radio. Out. Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. And we've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir. Yippee! I'll go on
TV. Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Heather's teaching kids about money, and they think they need a credit card to get a home loan. I'll answer her email next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Heather emails with questions about loan approval.
I'm writing because I have a quick question. I work with a lot of young people that I've been advising to stay away from credit cards. They're concerned because they fear they will not be able to buy a home with a loan if they don't have a credit history. Is this completely true? It's completely untrue. That is one of the biggest lies floating around out there. Fannie Mae, FHA, and VA underwriting guidelines clearly state that if you can get a mortgage company that actually does underwriting, they don't do lending for dummies with a beacon score only, you can get a home if you have a credit bureau report that has your name, address, and social security number on it and nothing else. If you've been on the job for 2 years steady, you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years steady and can prove it, and if you're not trying to buy too much house with a reasonable down payment and a reasonable payment as a percentage of your income, you qualify for a home. You do not have to take out a credit card or a car loan in order to qualify for a house. That is a lie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, this is Chris Reese from Houston, Texas. I think everyone needs to vote because even though you may not think one vote matters, it does when you add them all together. That is the only voice you have because the government does make choices about your life. So if you think your voice doesn't matter, you're wrong. It does.
Hey, this is Anthony at Apple Valley, California. And a lot of good people died to give you the chance to vote. Don't make them die in vain. It doesn't matter whether you vote for Bush or Kerry. Come November 2nd, get off your butt and go vote.
My name is Dwight Everett. I'm an independent trucker, and I want all of America to know that your vote is important. You, your family, and everyone involved. Have a great day.
This is Jay in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Please get out and vote.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
34 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. Taking your calls, 866-303-2270. Broadcasting from New York City, the capital of the liberal elite. Here we go. Since the handover of power, exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face, this is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 107. Leaders of Iraq. All right, good morning. Yes, everyone. Several reports from Hans Blix, some Saudi leaders, and a panel of 500 national security specialists all say our invasion of Iraq has made terrorism even worse. Yes, I know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but when faced with such an impressive lineup all coming to the same conclusion, you might be tempted to interpret this as the truth. Come on, the Saudis are to terrorism what Bill Monroe was to bluegrass. Nothing? All right, got to get some new references. Okay, what I'm saying is that all of these guys really know terrorism. So you would think their conclusions can't be denied. Wrong. Okay, I'll explain. For our current style of government, selective reality is essential. For instance, do you have any idea what we're telling our people about what's going on in Iraq? No, not that. What we're saying is that freedom is on the march. Free elections. Rebuilding everywhere. To watch Fox News, you'd think it was Mayberry on the Euphrates. I know it isn't, but that's our reality. We don't let Hans Blix or some other whiny foreigners tell us how things are, and neither should you. Hey, here comes Aunt B with a fresh baked apple pie. Mmm. Hey, don't knock it until you try this. You're going to love our reality. It's delicious. So good luck and God bless. This is day 107 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Remember to vote. Stacy in Madison, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, Stacy.
Great. Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Well, yes, I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm very happy that we have a Air America station here. And
WXXM.
I listen to you guys every morning. And last night, a bunch of people gathered to watch the debates. I don't know if you've seen drinkingliberally.com.
Oh, no. Check it out.
It's a website for, like, meetups for people who, like, beer and liberal politics.
Oh,
and
that's exciting.
They're happening all over the country.
Are there a lot of arguments? Do you guys get drunk and just go, no, you're wrong about that?
No, but as the debates went on, the reactions got louder and louder during the whole thing. But last night when Kerry did that whole thing about, what was it, that for Bush to talk about...
Oh, yeah, the Soprano
like
thing.
Tony Soprano.
And that was
the
great.
The whole bar went up and everybody just roared. And thank you, Kerry, for showing your sense of humor. That was just great.
So. Okay, we're going to play that for you right now. Maybe we'll get some more laughs out there. Thanks so much for calling, Stacey.
Thanks, Stacey.
Madison, WXXM.
92.1 FM.
Lay it out, Kalo.
Being lectured by the president on fiscal responsibility is a little bit like Tony Soprano talking to me about law and order in this country.
Got a little laugh. Good for Kerry. Beautiful. More laughs than Bush, that's for sure, last night. It was beautiful. Hey, who we got now? We got Andy in St. Paul. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hey. I had another comment on the debates last night, too. When Kerry said, you know, Bush, you said that you don't think about Osama bin Laden anymore.
Oh, that's right.
And Bush said, no, I don't think about him at all. I never said that.
He said, that sounds like an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's one of the most bald-faced lies in the entire debate.
Well, here's what he said. Let me do it. Hey, George Bush. Hey, what do you think about Osama bin Laden? Here we go.
I don't know where he is. I just don't spend that much time on him. And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
Wow. That sounds surprising.
I don't know where he is.
But he was the mastermind in 9/11, and... Yeah,
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about
him. He was the guy who killed all the...
Sure he wasn't talking about his father or something?
No, he was definitely talking about Osama bin Laden, and that was right. He called, Kerry called him out on that, and Bush just, that's an exaggeration. That's one of those exaggerations.
Incredible.
Awful. Just awful. Ted in New York, what's up, Ted? How you doing?
Hey, Ted.
Hey, I think you guys are doing a great job. I love it. Can't believe how good it is to hear voices on the radio that's not Don Imus and those two clowns he works with every morning.
Just talk to me.
Yeah, really.
Bernard McGoon and Charles McQuirk, you know?
Wow. Okay. So what's on your mind, Ted?
Yeah, listen, man. I don't know about you guys. You work with things in your ear. You're in the radio business. But when I look at Bush, and I think if you review the debate and look at him again, before he can answer any question, look at his eyes. He's not thinking. He's listening. If somebody's talking to this guy and telling him what to say, and whenever he's not hearing well, he goes off like he doesn't know what to say. Then he refocuses his eyes inward, and you see that he's being told what to say. And I know it sounds like I'm not a conspiratorial theorist. I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm a senior citizen. But this guy's being told what to say. And I think you guys need to take a look at that and bring that up.
Okay, well, okay, thanks a lot, Ted.
We'll check it out. I kind of thought that vacuous look on his face just stayed no matter what happened.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of speculation on this in the world of the Internet, and people look at pictures, and as you said, the Daily News had interviewed a master tailor to speculate on the bulge on Bush's back, because it was more pronounced in the second debate. The pictures in the first debate revealed a little bit of a tee that could have been a stretch of fabric, and people said it was a transmitter, and then the second debate, they had a picture. It looked like he literally had a box on his back, which I thought was actually a control panel for the Bush robot, if not a small door, you know.
Intel here.
Yeah, they put a monkey inside to run the machine. But, a lot of people have been talking about this. I tend to think that Bush is shot up with some sort of amphetamine or vitamin B12 compound. It makes his jaw rock. It makes it dilate his pupils. It might be Wellbutrin. It might be whatever. But I think what he does is he crams and he crams and he studies and he studies, and that blank stare is actually him trying to memorize the riff, the talking points, the momentum. You know, it's him grasping in his brain. It does look like he's listening, and I'm sure he's that the people that he works for. the Cheney regime's neocon death cult, and also the religious right, is not beyond, putting a transmitter in his head. But if that's the case, it didn't work because he lost all three debates. And certainly, if that was the plan in the first debate, it wasn't working well. And maybe that was the case. They found the transmitter didn't work and they needed a bigger box. And in the second debate, he was almost too wired and it didn't look like he was listening to anything. He was just improvising and thought he was a preacher. And in this debate, well, my point is, Ted, if that's the case and we want to ruminate on that stuff, which a lot of people are already doing, they can. But the real truth of the matter is, it was not a successful strategy. Neither is, tearing up Democratic voter registration forms in Nevada, Portland, Arizona by a group funded by the Republican National Committee, out of Arizona. I mean, these tactics are devious cheating tactics. And if you have any indication that there's voter fraud or any, questions about this, there are teams of lawyers that are working around the clock to deal with this stuff. And you can reach them at 866-OUR-VOTE, and they will give you legal advice and help you solve these problems, because these guys are cheaters. They want to steal the election again. They will do it. They're full of dirty tricks. They don't care about democracy, and they will do whatever's necessary, and we're countering. All right, so, not only do you need to register to vote and then go vote, but if you sense any, hanky-panky, Or weird
cops asking you for ID near the polling station.
Like the guy who said he was handing out carry bumper stickers at the mall in New Jersey. I hope he called his congressman, because we found out by Louis Pashman, Dan Pashman's father, that there's a law on the books in New Jersey that says that malls are public places even if they're privately owned.
Oh, we should have asked Senator Corzine about that. He might have been able to look into that.
That's right. You want to take another call?
Sure.
Arkansas. We don't hear from Arkansas much. Streaming in Arkansas, Ricky. Good morning.
Hey, Ricky. Hey.
Morning, Mark.
Hey, what's
how you doing?
Hey,
we
thanks,
bud. We don't have anything around.
We're getting there.
Well, I was going to tell you, apparently last night Bush brought a little extra something with him to the debate. I don't know if you guys noticed.
You mean the spit?
Yeah, in the corner of his mouth.
The drool.
It was horrible. Was he high on something? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I speculate that it's just the remnants of a freeze, you know what I mean? There was a little left on the mirror, and he, rubbed his finger around his gums and got a little on the edge of his mouth.
I'm an optimist. I think it was just a hawker.
Well, my wife and I are sitting watching the debates, and every time he took a drink of water, we were hoping he would wash it down.
See, this is how they get us. See, everyone was distracted with the spit in Bush's mouth, and we weren't listening to what he was saying. It's all a big
which
tactic.
Wasn't much anyway.
Did you see the toilet paper on his shoe?
Oh, I missed that.
Thanks for calling, Ricky.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Cassandra in New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, Mark. How you doing? I love your show.
Thank you.
And Mark, by the way, if you ever need help with your trapping your cats, I'd be happy to help.
You're going to help me trap my cats, or you want to take two wild cats?
No.
I hear you say you want
to have several, but you got to get the mother, otherwise she'll have more kittens.
No, I already did it.
Oh, I love you.
We trapped the mother, and okay. We had her fixed, and we released her back. But I still got all four kittens. Two of them are coming around, and they're becoming, you know, sort of socialized cats. But these other two are just like, they're not having it, and they give me dirty looks, and it hurts my feelings.
Well, I think you are great. I do, too.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, first of all, after watching the three debates, I think, you know, Kerry is Kerry, despite the fact that we all wanted him to come up with some really great zingers. And I wish you could have been writing for him, Mark.
No.
That's just the way he is. And,
yeah.
You know, but anyway, just watching the two of them, there's just absolutely
sure.
No comparison.
No, absolutely.
I mean, you know, Kerry is presidential, and Bush, he's just a monkey. What
yeah.
I really noticed last night, too, immediately, I couldn't help. I was watching with two friends of mine, and right away I said, oh, my God, there's spit at the corner of his mouth.
Yeah.
And it just shows him for, like, the raving, foaming at the mouth madman he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's exactly, it's funny because you just said it. He's like someone, I think, who goes, yeah, I am just so cool. And then you look down, he's got toilet paper on his shoe.
Yeah.
From New Jersey to Arkansas, the spit show.
Yeah.
I wanted to really reach into that TV and smack that smirk off his idiot face.
Well, you know, they're going to have TVs where you can do that in the next few years.
I hope so, because you know what? I am fed up with this little Oedipal drama that's being played out at our expense.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cassandra.
And, wait, just one more thing.
Okay, okay.
By the way, when these guys get kicked out in 3 weeks, I want Cheney in jail as somebody's wife.
No! We'll pass that along.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cassandra. That's right. The protracted Oedipal drama that is destroying our world is a reality, and she shared that with us. She was funny. Thanks for calling.
That was a nice word.
We're coming back. It's 45 past the hour. We got Rapture Watch, so hang on, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show. If you're like me, and you probably are not, you're tired of getting your news from sophomoric, unreliable news outlets more focused on entertainment than news, like CNN and Newsweek. That's why I get my news from Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That and Fox.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. ESTER-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes get a bit tighter, that is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know Cordislim people. You run into those Cordislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, Cordislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. Cordislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of Cordislim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook. Yow Berkeley paperback.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Donovan.
This is J.C. Shazay, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference.
The voting booth. Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, guys.
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote. Vote.
We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
It's 51 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America. I think I might have to call 1-866-OUR-VOTE because I feel like I am a victim of voter disenfranchisement. Where's my absentee ballot?
Call Arnold.
I got no time. Time's running out. I got to fly to Los Angeles. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian's Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Janesville, Wisconsin. Your Grace.
Heed my warning, lugubrious Nubians. Ye coveters of lucre, ye seekers of Baphomet, look it up. Ye worshippers of mammon, large, pendulous mammons. And all you stuck-up granolas in the high school drama department who wouldn't recognize my talent, prepare for the end times, you God-hating God-haters, because it's time for all believers to be raptured up to heaven. Warning, rapture does not apply to Buddhists, newborn babies abandoned on prom night, or ancient Roman poets. May cause dry mouth. Now, if you recall, last Bahomed, look it up. I told you about giant hornets breeding in Arkansas. The weekend before that, I told you about overly aggressive raccoons in Malibu. And before that, there was that invasion of ants in my pantry. Yeah, it's been a slow month. But now comes this. Those sick fiends in the U.S. Senate are about to pass their version of House Bill H.R. 10, a bill so demented, so insidious, that I suggest you take a deep breath and brace yourself before I describe it. There. Ready? Bill H.R. 10 would standardize the process of issuing driver's licenses. Yeah, I hear ya. Say goodbye to Jesus. And say hello to greater cooperation between health and law enforcement agencies. You can also say hello to the mark of Satan, the One World Order, and the Dutch telling us what to do. For it was prophesied in Revelation 16 going on 17. The Antichrist will cause all people to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads or in that little place just under your nose that nobody can remember the name of. And no one will engage in commerce unless they have this mark of the beast, or at least a Teamsters card. And then the Dutch will boss everybody around. Is it any surprise that the very letters and numbers of this bill, H.R. 10, when manipulated and tinkered with for days by a team of emotionally disturbed mathematicians, nearly come close to spelling out 666? Skeptical? Where do I get most of my information, you ask? Well, aside from the Wall Street Journal, I get it from RaptureReady.com. That's right. So if you got a problem, fella, just send your complaint to Todd at RaptureReady.com. That's T-O-D-D at RaptureReady.com. Send 100 emails. I don't care. Go ahead. I dare you. I can take it, you bunch of wusses. I bet you don't even have what it takes to inundate Todd with hundreds of pictures of Sinead O'Connor. That's Todd at RaptureReady.com. Go ahead and try it, you gutless heretics. Todd at RaptureReady.com. Tell him Milf Cardinal Milfington sent you. Bring it on. Todd's waiting. Until then, keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell! That's Todd at RaptureReady.com.
Thanks. Thank you, Cardinal. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Mark, may I take a moment to step out of my character for a moment here?
I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable.
You scared the hell out of me already.
All right. Do what you got to do.
When researching this story, I found that at least 20 civil liberties organizations and the ACLU were also against this bill.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I should probably do more research. Anyway, I gotta go.
All right. That was Cardinal Mort Milfington and his alter ego. I'm gonna leave that. Did you try and email Todd?
I'm trying to go up on RaptureReady.com just to see what exactly is there. It's the pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay.
Margaret MacDonald who?
Okay.
Mark Maron?
What? Wait a minute. Hold on. What's this weird bump on my head?
Well,
oh, my God, it's me. All right, look, here's the deal. Friday and Saturday of this week, I will be at the Mohegan Sun Casino. If you'd like to come up, there are 11 o'clock shows. I don't believe they're sold out. I got a couple emails yesterday from some people that couldn't purchase tickets online, but I don't know how that works. You have to deal with the casino. I can't do that work for you, and I apologize. I'd like you to come. I don't know what the deal is with tickets. But it should be a fun show. The guys I'm going up with, it's going to be fun, and they have Ben and Jerry's at the Mohegan Sun. So, also, for information on tickets to all these events, I'm going to be also at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City, the October 22nd and 23rd, October 29 and 30. I'll be at Cobb's in San Francisco as part of the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2. I will not be at the Triad Theater the night after elections. I don't think I was not asked to be there, so I won't be there. It sounds like a good time, though.
Wait. What? Just you're not going just because you weren't asked? You don't look like a I don't go because I'm not asked kind of person.
I don't like to hang out at shows where I'm not on necessarily. You know what I mean? And what am I supposed to do? Just sit in the audience and go, wait, I have some stand-up?
No, man. You're just supposed to walk. All you have to do is just, like, walk down the middle of whatever aisle they have and just sit down. That's all.
Why would I want to? All right.
Yeah.
I'd rather do
Bogart, man. Bogart.
No, I don't even know. You know, I don't even, you know, it's like I'm doing my shows. I got my little shows here, and here's what we're going to do. Also, we got Jerry Springer coming up the next hour. It's very exciting. Again, voter registration, October 20th, Wisconsin, October 23rd, Iowa, New Hampshire. These are deadlines. November 2nd in Maine, but you can register on the day of your vote. If you're having problems with anything voter-related, intimidation, disenfranchisement, weird hanky-panky, risky business shenanigans, 866-OUR-VOTE. If you sense that something is going wrong, you can talk to a lawyer there.
Can we talk about Bill O'Reilly now? No, we don't have time.
We're going to talk. We'll do it on top of the hour.
But you know what we can talk about?
Immoral bastard, lying, hypocritical piece of...
Yes, and we're not talking about Jerry Springer.
Jerry.
Next hour. Morning edition. Air America Radio.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1.
Name one Hollywood director. Two. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number three. Name one comedian. Four. Name one game show host. Five. Name one professional athlete. Number six. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious.
Serious.
It's on.
Is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Some 500 U.S. national security specialists are saying something the Bush White House refuses to believe. That is, the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq has been the most misguided policy since the Vietnam War. And the security specialist signed an open letter saying that the current situation in Iraq could have been much better had Bush heeded the advice of some of the most experienced and stayed out of the country. Specialists are members of a group called Security Scholars for a Sensible Foreign Policy. One of the organizers of the group is Professor Barry Posen of the Political Science Department at MIT. Posen says he's advising the administration, which is already in a deep hole, to stop digging. Last of the presidential debates for this election year is now history. Both George W. Bush and John Kerry slugged it out verbally on a variety of issues last night. One of them was the controversial assault weapons ban, which Bush refused to enact.
I believe it was a failure of presidential leadership not to reauthorize the assault weapons ban. Because of the president's decision today, law enforcement officers will walk into a place that will be more dangerous. Terrorists can now come into America and go to a gun show and, without even a background check, buy an assault weapon today. And that's what Osama bin Laden's handbook said, because we captured it in Afghanistan and encouraged them to do it.
John Kerry during last night's debate. A report shows that the Transportation Security Administration award ceremony cost $500,000 to put on. Associated Press has gotten an internal report detailing the cost of the ceremony in a Washington, D.C. hotel put on by the government. Awards were given to more than 500 TSA employees and 30 organizations. One worker at the only two-year-old agency got a Lifetime Achievement Award. Government investigation also found that the TSA gave its executives bonuses averaging $16,000. That's higher than those given at any other federal agency. Out of Iraq this morning, U.S. military says early reports indicate 8 people are dead and 4 wounded in a pair of blasts in the Green Zone in Baghdad, Iraq. Officials say all the victims are civilians, but won't specify nationalities. Thick smoke billowed from one blast site, which appears to be close to the main palace. And the scene in Iraq remains sobering, with a half dozen more American lives lost in the suicide attack and roadside bombing. The latest wave of violence prompted Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi to issue an ultimatum to the insurgents: hold up in Fallujah, this to either hand over terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi or face more military action. His group has claimed responsibility for several beheadings of foreign hostages and for car bombings throughout the country. Just yesterday, a videotape of yet another beheading made its way to an Islamic website showing militants with ties to al-Zarqawi involved in the killing of 2 Iraqis who had been suspected of being intelligence officers. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Rolling Stone and college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, Score TV, the music rocks, commercial-free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Dallas, Leonard, Frank, the Factor, Traffic, Savage, Adam Pryor, Randy Rose, and NPR, this comedy and all the stars.
This is Earth and Sky on the blue color of Earth's sky.
Here's why the sky looks blue. White light, like sunlight, is composed of all the colors of the rainbow. The molecules in Earth's atmosphere are just the right size to send sunlight flying in all directions as the light strikes the air. This is called scattering, and it so happens that the blue in sunlight is scattered more strongly than the red.
It's the scattering of blue light by air molecules that makes the sky look blue.
But the sky isn't uniformly blue at any time of day. The sun's height determines the location of the bluest spot in the sky. So that spot changes location as the day passes. The brightest and least blue parts of the sky are near the sun and 90 degrees away from it. These two least blue areas are generally separated by a region of darker or bluer sky that shifts as the sun moves throughout the day. You may see many shades of blue in a small area of sky near the horizon. Not just air molecules, but also dust and water vapor can affect the way sunlight is scattered. And so they also affect the changing blue of the sky.
So it's Earth's atmosphere that causes our sky to look blue. Not every world has a blue sky. If you were standing on the moon, the sky above you would look black because the moon doesn't have an atmosphere.
And if you were on Mars, the sky would look pink because the Martian sky is full of reddish dust. That's our show for today. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, deconstructionists, Democrats, loser Republicans, man children, women. Girls,
what? You forgot man divas.
No, I am the man diva.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I am the narcissist king. How's it going, Mark Riley? How
it's
you going?
I'm feeling great, man. We got Jerry coming up here.
Jerry Springer's going to be here.
My idol.
Oh, also, we got Candy on the phone. Our friend Candy is calling with some commentary about the debate. Good morning, Candy.
Hey, Candy.
Good morning, great guys.
Oh, thank
okay.
you.
The pit bull. The pit bull ran out of gas last night.
The pit bull ran out of gas last night.
Uh-oh. Also, I got a little scared with this guy. I think this guy's really a robot.
A robot. Yes, we think so, too.
What do you think about every question that was given to him? We're not leaving any children behind. No, we only send the pit bulls after them.
Sending pit bulls after little children.
That's pretty powerful commentary. That you're right, Candy. Everything he said, everything Kerry brought up, any question, he just defaulted with education, and which isn't even a well-funded policy in and of itself. It's a failure.
Sure is.
Yes, thank God we have Kerry. So,
thank you. Yes,
so
thank
let's pray that we win.
Yes, we are going to win because the pit bull's going down, and you can quote me on that.
Yeah, he's foaming already.
He's foaming. That's right. Thank you so much, Candy. It's always good to talk to you.
Have a good day, Candy.
We've got a film crew in here from a French film crew is taping us as we speak. And,
no, they're taping you.
No, they're taking
I'm
off.
Staying out of the way.
You're not staying out of this. You're
I'm
not
staying
gonna,
out of the
you're
way.
You're not going to Ellicott this one. You
hey,
are on
hey,
camera,
hey.
Buddy.
Oh,
you are on
did
camera.
Did you get my good side?
No. You are on camera. I'm just concerned. Do I have any spittle? Do I have any bush spittle? Am I good?
No, I think I expelled mine already.
Oh, you did?
No.
So we've got Springer coming up, and I want to ask him because O'Reilly's in some hot water, dude.
Bill O'Reilly. Not Mark Riley.
No.
Bill O'Reilly.
He is being accused of sexual harassment, and we've got a transcript here.
Some pretty graphic stuff.
Dude, I can I even read it?
Sure.
This is a phone call, I guess. This is taped conversation that Bill O'Reilly said to this woman.
woman. And I'm going
to... I think they were out to dinner at one point. It wasn't even on the phone. It was face to face.
I love it when these hypocrites, these guys who claim to be, you know, moral barometers for the entire country, for the culture of denial, for the right, like Rush Limbaugh or this guy, O'Reilly, and it turns out that they're just, you know, hiding these insane, you know, cancerous secrets about themselves.
Allegedly.
Well, they're hypocrites. All right, you can say that, but I don't care. I'll slander the guy. Let me just read this quote from the transcript. Well, if I took you down there, he's talking to this is a monologue that the defendant,
Andrea Macris,
accuses him of saying, and I don't know if it came from a tape. Do you know? Does it come from a tape or is it transcribed? I think it came from a tape.
Yeah.
But here's the quote. If I took you down there, then I'd want to take a shower with you right away. That would be the first thing I'd do. Yeah, we check into the room and we would order up some room service, and you'd definitely get two wines into you as quickly as I could get it into you. I would get them into you. Maybe intravenously. Get those glasses of wine into you. Wow, did he repeat that enough? It's like, I will get alcohol into you any way possible because God knows that's the only way you're going to be able to accept having sex with me. You're going to have to be drunk in order to accept that. Then he said, you would basically be in the shower, and then I would come in and I'd join you, and you would have your back to me, and I would take that little loofah thing and kind of soap up your back, rub it all over you, get you to relax, hot water, and you know, you'd feel the tension drain out of you, and you still would be with your back to me, and I would kind of put my arm, you know, it's one of those mitts, those loofah mitts. Nothing sexier than a loofah mitt. This guy really, really knows how to talk dirty.
He knows what fun is.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my loofah mitt, and you know what? The hell with it. I'm wearing my galoshes in the shower. I'm gonna have my galoshes on, and I'm gonna loofah mitt you. Wow, I'm getting turned on just repeating his words. What I'm thinking is that maybe we can get Springer to have Bill O'Reilly on his show with the accuser, and they could work it out there. What do you think?
I think so. You'd have to keep Steve, the security guy, between the two of them, though. You know, the dead giveaway here, Mark, is that he talks about his alleged, and I do mean alleged, sexual prowess through all of this.
Yeah.
I'm hung like a tripod. I'm the man. I'm the man.
No, is that in here?
No, he doesn't say
it. Oh, you're making that up.
That's alleged.
No, we're doing real morning radio here. Look at this. And then the funniest part, the funniest part of it is actually, so later in the monologue, he forgets what loofah is. You know, he didn't say loofah. And he says, and then I would take the other hand with the falafel thing.
The falafel.
The falafel thing. Oh, yeah. So now we've got a loofah mitt and some falafel balls, which is always sexy. You know what I mean? It's like if the loofah mitt doesn't work, I'm just going to mash these fried balls of chickpeas into your back. How would that be? Man, this guy really knows how to talk dirty.
And you know what else? He went after your boy Al Franken during these conversations, allegedly.
And then you'll turn around and I'm going to tahini your head. I'm going to just pour tahini sauce over your head. See, he's got this weird Middle Eastern fantasy. He's repressing an inner Arab is what he's doing. Is that he's fantasizing like that he's going to make a large Middle Eastern sandwich out of this woman in the shower and eat her. And that's okay. I'm deconstructing it. I'm honoring Derrida today. All right.
But you know what? He talks about Al Franken, and I wonder if you could channel Al, if you might.
Well, I'm not going to comment about it, because I think that, you know, it's not fair for me to comment, because I don't want to interrupt the trial. I don't want to have any impact on that. But, you know, as you know, O'Reilly is a liar. 12 past the hour. We're back. It's Air America Radio.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
Log on for sustainability. Gary Crespi, founder of EcoSeed Internet, explains.
We're giving people the opportunity to be green consumers, to invest in a company that is dedicated to environmental organizations.
Crespi, a graduate student of wildlife conservation, found he could be more effective by reaching out to the public online with a green ISP.
People can get involved, they can help protect the planet, they're getting online, which they're doing already, but putting their money into a good cause, helping the environment.
EcoSeed donates
donates 100% of its net profits to environmental groups.
So we give people different options. They can adopt an acre through the Nature Conservancy, or they can take ocean protection, and we'll give money to Oceana that's working throughout the world to protect our ocean.
Save a few clams with EcoSea.com. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now a Berkeley paperback.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars in the 70s joined Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net, or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. A whole
big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Garcelle Beauvais-Nylon. When I played a DA on NYPD Blue, I got all the facts before trying a case. Yet many don't know the facts about epilepsy. There are 2.5 million Americans with the condition, and 1 in 10 Americans will have a seizure in their lifetime. People with epilepsy want to lead normal lives, but too many of us don't know what epilepsy is or what to do if someone has a seizure. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000.
Fire truck! 17 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio, broadcast from the liberal elite capital of the world, New York City. Ramon brought this by earlier.
Yeah.
He was late with it, but we got it out anyways. Here's the president's schedule for today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up. White fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. 7:30 a.m. Ritual burning of John Kerry debate dummy. Note, debates are over. Don't have to think again until... Ask Carl when I have to think again. 8 a.m. Review media coverage of debates. White fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. 1:35 p.m. Speaker rally, Reno, Nevada. Ask mayor if it would be all right to shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die. 2 p.m. While in Reno, try to get a quickie divorce from reality. 6:10 p.m. Speaker rally, Central Point, Oregon. Note, no questions, no rebuttals. Just relax and let the speech give itself. 6:12 p.m. White fleck of spittle from edge of mouth. Declare war on spittle. 10 p.m. Bedtime. Lights out. Finally relax. Remember, in the dark, nobody can see you drool. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make the filming exciting.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a woman filming me from an up angle, and I just wadded up my presidential palm pilot and threw it right at the camera. And if you do that on high-definition TV, it'll feel like you're getting hit in the face with the paper. Hey, this is exciting.
Jerry, come to us
from Cincinnati. Of course you know who he is. He's the former mayor of Cincinnati. He's got his own show, and he's been doing a lot of fundraising. You can go to the website, www.makeohiobluoneword.org. One word is not part of the website address, as you know. Jerry Springer is on the phone. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Nice to be with you guys.
Good morning, Jerry. I'm a big fan. I just want you to know.
Of course, have you sought help?
Yes, I have, and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
he's like all week it's been going on. I mean, you don't understand. After our show, we can't even have a meeting with Mark Riley because he has to go watch your show, and we got to wait for him to get finished watching your show so we can have a meeting about our show.
I want tickets, Jerry. I want tickets.
Thanks to you, Mark, I'm able to afford this phone call.
I think you're able to afford an entire phone company, Jerry.
Yeah, really.
Hey, did you hear about Bill O'Reilly?
No, what happened?
He's accused of sexual harassment, and there are transcripts. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Of things he allegedly said.
Is there any way you could sort of solicit him to be on your show? Maybe you could resolve this between him and...
You know, actually, we never have known people on the show. I mean, it's kind of like this is the avenue for people who aren't famous.
But your show, that's all real, right? None of that stuff is scripted, right, Jerry?
95% of it's real. I'm sure every once in a while someone comes on and makes something.
But you don't know anything about that, right?
I don't know anything about the show at all. No, I know you guys think it's all, but that's the sad part. It really is real.
No, no, I don't think it.
Yeah,
I don't think
it is. I mean, if you're there, you can see it.
Yeah.
It really is, because, you know, so many people think it's made up, but I got to ask you, Jerry, what happened to your dancer, Angie?
Oh, she's been asking about you.
Oh, good.
No, she was the one who was always dancing on the pole. This year, she's dancing on the Czechoslovakian. I don't know.
What? What, did she try to join the union or something, Jerry?
I don't know.
But listen, let's talk about MakeOhioBlue.org.
Yeah, let's do that.
You've been going out, you've been using your celebrity, in fact, to get people involved in the political process, and you're not even running for anything. What's that?
I'm a citizen like everyone else, and, you know, everyone does something, and I really feel strongly about this. I think Ohio is critical, not just because of its electoral impact in this election. I think Ohio is important because we really are the poster child for the negative consequences of the administration's policies. I mean, we're the state with all those lost jobs. You know, we lead the nation. I think the New York Times about 3 weeks ago on Saturday on the front page had Ohio has the worst economy in the country. So we're suffering. And, you know, we just can't afford four more years of George Bush, whether you're talking about, you know, what the war has done to us or whether you're just talking about the way he manages the economy. We're in trouble.
What? Go ahead. No, you go.
No, but I mean, the city that you used to run as mayor,
yes.
Cincinnati, is generally thought of as a Republican city. No, for cities like Canton and other places in Ohio seem to be repositories of support for this president. In fact, he carried Ohio in 2000, didn't he?
Well, in fact, in the 20th century, I think a Republican has never been elected president without carrying Ohio. But, you know, Ohio voted for Clinton, so, you know, there have been occasions when Ohio votes Democrat. You know, several years ago, we had a Democratic governor. I mean, 15 years ago, we had a Democratic governor. We had two Democratic senators, Glenn and Metzenbaum. So, I mean, there's a tradition of Democratic, you know, the states maybe tilts a little bit Republican, but certainly in this election it could vote Democrat.
Hey, Jerry, why weren't you asked to moderate any of the debates?
Because the chairs were not mobile. I don't know.
Maybe next time, I think.
Yeah.
So, did you watch the debate last night?
Oh, sure.
And what were the high points for you?
You mean other than the spittle?
Yeah, we got it.
No, on a serious note, I thought... you know, in every single one of the debates, the truth is, you know, if you weren't partisan, and let's face it, everyone is, but trying to be as objective as you possibly could be, if you just tuned on the television set and you said one of these guys is president, you really would believe Kerry was president.
That for sure. Yes, certainly.
The only thing I wish Kerry would say in the debate is whenever, you know, Bush went after him on, oh, you're left of Kennedy and all this kind of stuff, you know, just turn him at one point and say, Mr. President, is anything ever your responsibility?
Yeah.
I mean, how come everything is everyone else's fault? You're not responsible for the CIA report. You're not responsible for us being in a, you know, for, you know, you make excuses about Iraq. You're not responsible for the horrible economy, for the fact that we've lost more jobs than, you know, you're the first president to lose jobs. It's never your fault. And when everything else fails, oh, you're the tax and spend liberal. You're always blaming other people. Don't blame me, Mr. President. You've been president for the last 4 years. You don't deserve another term.
And
you're
then he should pull the podium up off of the stage and raise it over his head.
And then throw it.
Yes!
And then I would come on and say, we'll be right back.
There you go. Jerry, you know, there's been some talk in Ohio specifically about potential vote problems. The Secretary of State there, J. Kenneth Blackwell, who, by the way, used to be a Marxist and now is a black Republican, apparently wanted all voter registration cards on 80-pound stock. I think he's backed off that a little bit, but are you afraid that Ohio could become another Florida this time?
Well, it's sure it's possible, but the truth is it's possible in a lot of states that stuff's going on. I mean, it seems so many states have these stories about either people being intimidated, for not coming out, or the applications. There was one story I heard yesterday, and you probably know more about it because you've been there covering the news, is some hired Republican has been going around registering
in Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada.
Yeah, registering
yeah.
Democrats, and then after they're all registered, he throws out the forms or something?
This is happening in three states. It was called Voter Outreach,
I think.
Voter Outreach, right. It was
unbelievable.
It was happening in Arizona, in Nevada, and also in Oregon.
It's unbelievable. You know, it's just, how crooked can you get?
Well, how about that guy in Ohio that said you couldn't register unless you had 80-weight paper?
Yeah, that's Jacob Blackwell.
Well, right.
Oh, okay.
He's backed down to that because what happened is the newspapers, I think it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think that was the paper, where you could fill out a form in the newspaper, you know, for registration.
Right, or just
a wonderful way to get people to vote.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
And now then he says, well, they've got all these forms, but it's not the exact paperweight. It's not as thick as a normal registration form, and therefore we're not going to, you know. So all these people who are good citizens, legitimately want to participate in the system, honestly think that they've registered to vote, they now show up at the voting booth on November 2nd, and they're told, uh-uh, you're not registered. We don't have a form for you. It's so deceptive. It is so, it's horrible. But you know, he's paying a consequence for it. You know, he had some aspirations for statewide office, and I think that will really hurt it.
Not happening now. Jerry, I got to ask you, back to the important issue, I got to ask you, there is a perception of you, and I hear this whenever people find out I watch your show, they say, well, you know, Jerry's very disgusting, but he's a really smart guy. Do you hear that a lot?
Oh, I mean, it's a nice compliment.
But it's almost like he's a smart guy. What's he doing?
Well, you know what? Think of the bar I'm against. You know, talk about lowering the bar of expectations. If I put a sentence together on my show, they say, whoa.
Whoa. He's shooting over our heads. He's pointing to the back of the room.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd like to think I'm reasonably smart, but, you know, lots of people are. In other words, my show doesn't have anything to do with me other than I host it. I enjoy it. I'm not making any apologies for it. I think it's a lot of fun, and people obviously like it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been on for 14 years. But that's not what I'm interested in. I mean, I wouldn't watch the show.
No, you've insulted me, Jerry.
Yeah, well, no, it's not aimed at 60-year-old men. You know, if I were 20, you know, if I were in my, you know, young college, I mean, if I were in college or in my 20s, you know, I'd be...
I'm 53,
You're
53!
You really do need help. Poor thing.
You just took two hits. You took two hits, Riley, from your hero.
Man, from my hero, no less.
Actually, I think wonderful people watch the show.
You are a politician, Jerry.
You're good, Jerry. You're not bad.
Yeah. No, it's a good escape, but that's what it is. It's a show. It's a lot of fun, you know, and if someone else had the opportunity to do it, they would jump at it.
All right, we got to take a break. Did that woman ever give her husband's leg back to him?
They've tracked her down. They've got her surrounded to the hills of Tora Bora.
We hang on the phone. We're going to be back in a second, Jerry.
Okay.
All right. We're going to talk more with Jerry Springer. We're going to talk with you on the telephones at 866-303-2270. And we've got the Liberal Agenda coming up when we come back here on Air America Radio.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book, now available at bookstores and online. At AirAmericaRadio.com.
Hey, Sarah, you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars in the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
This is Earth and Sky. According to Paul Ehrlich, professor of population studies at Stanford, humanity is on a collision course with nature.
In 1968, Ehrlich authored a book called The Population Bomb, warning that a population explosion was about to occur. There were 3.5 billion people on Earth in 1968. Now, just 36 years later, human population has surpassed 6 billion. Now, Ehrlich and other leading ecologists and economists are focused on the issue of human consumption in a finite world.
The first area that I started looking at when I got into this business was population growth, which was being ignored as a major driver of environmental problems. It's now well recognized to be a major driver of environmental problems, and we understand a lot about it, and we're doing something about population growth, whereas few people recognize consumption in the rich countries as a major driver, and nothing is being done about that. If anything, we're just encouraging more and more as we switch, for example, from just plain automobiles to SUVs in the United States, when we should be switching much more to mass transit, bicycles, and feet.
In Ehrlich's view, nature provides essential services without which our economy can't persist and humanity can't survive. Ehrlich's new book is called One with Nineveh, published this year.
Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats, for Block and Bird, for Earth and Sky.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Nope. No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
The winds have died down. The rainfalls have ceased. And the devastation left behind from Hurricane Ivan's rampage through the Caribbean is now becoming clear. Grenada was hit hard. Every primary and secondary school on the island was either destroyed or badly damaged. Now, St. George's University needs your help in their effort to rebuild the island schools. Call 1-800-899-6337 to give a helping hand to Grenada's youngsters. 1-800-899-6337. And thank you from the people of Grenada.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. Bush administration.
has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Wow. 34 past the hour. Now my brain is all polluted. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
After what Larson just said, you're listening to Air America Radio. Yeah. That's just great. That's just great.
What? What's just great?
Clutch Larson, you know, laying it, dropping the bombs on me here. We got a French film crew in here. These two nice women are here taking movies of us.
Yes.
And now, well, this is not what Larson said, but now I'm looking. I'd like to see the version of this. I'd like to see the French film that you're making, because I've never seen myself subtitled before. I want to see French subtitles of me talking the way I talk, and I want to make it complicated by saying that I don't speak very well. No good. Know how to make. I want to see how that looks in subtitles. What I just did there. Now, the other thing is they shot a documentary here, you know, months ago.
Yeah.
That was, I think, originally supposed to be, you know, the demise of Air America, the tragic story of a startup company that didn't last.
Yeah.
And then now it's turned into sort of a success story, but apparently it's going to be on HBO.
Oh, my God!
And apparently there's a lot of footage of me and Randy. And there's a scene where Larson just said, yeah, I just heard that they're trying to get something cut out of you yelling at me. And I'm like, well, that's just great. What does that mean? How does it make me look? Like I'm sort of some sort of crazy yelling person?
Well, don't worry. Now you'll do it in two languages.
Ugh. But I I'm going to be like, you know, tossing and turning in my bed, wondering how it's going to depict me. But you know what? I'm not ashamed. I got nothing to hide, Larson. Just because you are some sort of strange Scandinavian emotional mutant incapable of exhibiting any feelings, any emotions in an appropriate way, that I, in turn, have to yell at you in order to know that you feel.
Yes. Amen.
Feeling.
Okay, I want to see that in subtitles. Please send me footage of that. And I would like it deconstructed before it gets back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Derry Daw's dead.
Dead, yeah.
Hey, well, we got Jerry back. They didn't know that he was gone. He went away for a minute, but now he's back.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Jerry, what's up? Let's
talk about the Yankees. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's right, because you lived in Forest Hills for a while, right?
Well, I grew up in New York. I went to PS 99, Russell Sage Junior High, Forest Hills High School. Yeah, parents lived there for 32 years.
Well, they renamed that place Russell Simmons High School now.
Did you really?
Yeah, no.
You got me.
Oh, man, don't do that to me.
I'm sorry.
I got to trade in all my sweatshirts.
For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking to Jerry Springer, who is... now, are you? Have you met John Kerry?
Yes, yeah.
And okay. How'd that go?
Great. I mean, we played basketball. No, we didn't. No, he's a good guy.
Who do you think the people who watch your show or perform on your show are going to vote for? Is there any way you could speculate?
What do you mean by perform on his show? Those people are real, man.
Who take their problems to you, Jerry.
Well, I think anyone who isn't rich, at least if they're voting their interests, would vote Democrat. So my guess is they'll vote for Kerry.
You would hope. But the Republicans, keep trying to trick them. That's amazing what you were saying earlier about Ohio, is that, it's amazing that our the president has the nads to go to Ohio and try and convince these people that whatever they're experiencing economically is some sort of other reality.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But the fact is, every time he comes, he seems to drop a bit in the poll. So, you know, in the beginning, he was ahead, and I think if the election were held today, Kerry would win Ohio.
Well, he can't hypnotize people. I mean, if people are out of work and they're
exactly.
in pain and they're compromised, you can't sit there and say everything's great.
You are so right, and you know, it's just so obvious that he really is out of touch. I don't think he's evil. I just think he's out of touch. You know, it just doesn't relate to him what regular folks have to go through. And you can have the greatest Texas accent in the world. That doesn't make you a regular person, you know, if you live your life in privilege.
Jerry, he is evil.
Yeah. Jerry Springer, you've held elected office before. You were the mayor of Cincinnati. There's been some talk that you were thinking about running. You were, in fact, a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, right?
Right, right, yeah. No,
well, what's happening now? Are you going to give the show
up? I may run.
Yeah?
It's possible I'll run for governor in 2006, but, you know, I'll make up my mind after this presidential election. And
could you do the show and run at the same time?
Oh, no. If I decide to run, this is the last year of the show.
No, you should just
take it. But don't worry, I'll send you tapes.
Thank you.
But why not just take the show to the governor's mansion? Come on, Jerry.
This is a whole other avenue.
Great, wouldn't it?
People swinging off chandeliers.
Take it into the legislature. Let them throw their chairs at each other.
That's right. That's how you make your legislator. You just, you know, you send out a general sort of like recruiting thing on your show.
Say what you want. It'd be a hell of a lot more rational than the decisions we get now.
Well, it'd certainly
That's
be exciting
word.
And passionate and peculiar.
Yes.
I'm not sure rational, but I mean, I like it. There's an opera based on your show.
Yeah.
There's an opera in England called Jerry Springer the Opera, and it's a serious opera, and it's you can't get tickets to it. It's sold out. It's it won all the Olivier Awards, which is like our Tonys.
Yes.
I mean, I want to see. It's really. I have nothing to do with it. If they bring it here to the States, I'll have a.
How do you detach yourself? You detach yourself.
It's you, Jerry.
They based it on your show. Come on, what was it like? How did you?
It
sing
was kind
well?
Of weird because the weird.
Jerry Springer saying something's kind of weird. It's got to be really
weird.
Well, it's it's really difficult to sit in an audience and watch an opera about yourself. I mean, there's no one I can share the experience with. I called Carmen, but she died. Figaro.
Yeah.
I don't even have a number for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are no living people that have an opera. So, you know, that was kind of weird. You know, people are looking at you to see what your reaction is. So I found that a little uncomfortable, but I must admit they did a great job. I mean, the voices, the music is great. It's poignant. The choreography is phenomenal.
It's a great opera. I wonder if the people who watch your show would enjoy it.
Oh, well, they would go to see themselves.
Jerry, is your show still airing in England?
Yeah, it's every place.
What about
52 countries.
What about that straight talk? I saw you on television some years ago in England interviewing Tony Curtis.
I do. Every once in a while, I, you know, for like 10 weeks in a row or whatever, I'll do a, I do like the Tonight Show over there.
wow, that must be fun.
Yeah, it's a straight talk show, you know, with a band, and they come out and do an opening monologue and then interview celebrities.
Uh-huh.
And I do that like once a week. It's what's called Jerry Springer Saturday Night, and I've done that over the years. So I do it in South Africa, too.
Wow. So what's really important is we have a French film crew here today. What do the French think of you? Because that really is where you fit into the realm of intellectual and aesthetic interpretation.
They think next... To me, Jerry Lewis is normal.
Genius. Jerry Springer, genius in France.
There you go. We got that confirmed.
So we want to send people to the website, www.makeohioblue.org. What can they expect to find there quickly, Jerry, before we go?
It's a constant update on what's going on in Ohio with the election.
Okay, terrific. Well, thanks for joining, Jerry Springer.
Hey, great. Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It, Jerry.
Okay,
thanks.
Take care. Well, that was exciting. Well, how'd
it
you feel
was
about
fun,
it?
Man.
He took a couple shots at you. You kind of sparred a little bit with your hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so we're going to come back. We're going to do the PDB. We're going to take some calls, 866-303-2270. This has been a fun show. So I usually have fun, but I'm having more fun than usual. Maybe it's these movie lights that are on me. I feel like Franken. This is great. Am I going to be on TV? 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss.
For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the internet. Childabuseunit.com.
This week on MotherJones.com, American soldiers are speaking out against the Iraq War, and some are refusing to fight. Soldier-led groups like Iraq Veterans Against the War are springing up, and today, 54% of military households oppose the war. Some soldiers are even fleeing to Canada as refugees. Read about it in a special report on MotherJones.com, featuring interviews with soldiers at the forefront of the movement against the war. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a Colgate.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball through my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kixbrooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
Yeah, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Sirius Satellite Radio and Headcount urge you to make a difference. This year, it's more important than ever to wave that flag and let your voice be heard. If you're not registered, go to headcount.org, get serious, and vote.
Hi, I'm Bobby Orr with the Dead.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, this is Trey Anastasio reminding you that this year, it's more important than ever to get out and vote.
To register, go to www.headcount.org.
This note ever show up and vote.
All right, where's the runway? It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley. It's Morning Tradition on Air America Radio. I am here enjoying the fringe benefits of bipolarity.
Yes.
Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Unplanned Spit Discharge Destroys Remaining Dignity. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that a small fleck of spittle distracted from your performance in last night's debate. Okay, that's not quite true. It came to everyone's attention, and it was a huge, luminous, and repulsive distraction. It completely took away from what you were saying, which ordinarily would be a good thing. But the transition from idiot to drooling idiot is potentially devastating. This unchecked fluid discharge directly contradicts months and even years of careful image management by your handlers. You could be posed in a flight suit in front of Mount Rushmore with a squadron of jets passing overhead, but if there's spit coming out of your mouth, you might as well be in a full clown suit and makeup. For once, our suggestion is simple and highly effective. It's called Kleenex, and you should use it before you appear in public. And if that seems too wonky, we'll send somebody over to do it for you. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. That would be hilarious if they caught that on camera, just like, you know, some woman, like, dabbing it like my mother used to, taking a Kleenex. Well, come here. You got a little something on your face. I have nightmares about that. Just my mother or my grandmother coming at me with the saliva-drenched, like, Kleenex. Did your mom do that to you?
Of course.
Oh, what is
Everybody's
that?
Mom did that.
Really?
At one time or another, they've all done
it. And when your grandma does it, there's always a little lipstick on it. You're like, no! So in the House right now, Brendan P.W. McDonald is going to share with us some of his thoughts about watching. What's going on,
What's
man?
Up, Brendan? How are
you? It's nice to see you on the mic.
I'm glad to be here. You know, I thought there were going to be like some transsexual strippers or something in here.
Yeah.
Where's the chairs getting thrown? That was great. When he called in, he went, hey, it's Jerry. So great.
So what we were talking earlier about how you came at the debate with sort of, you know, fresh eyes and that, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we were talking about that hours ago when we just got in here. But and I've been on the phones with the people who are listening to us all morning, and people are generally saying the same thing that I was saying. And that was that watching the debate, now the nature of our job here, we, you know, I'm asleep when that thing was happening.
Right.
And the last four debates, and I'm including the vice presidential one in there, I had to watch kind of in reverse. I would wake up, see the punditry, see what they were having to say, and then get the debate and kind of watch it through the filter of how it was being received.
Right.
This was the first one that I watched fresh. I woke up at about 2 o'clock this morning and watched the whole thing before I heard any of the reaction. And it, very interesting, in my perspective, it was an ass kicking of the highest order. Like,
yes.
I mean, more than any of the other ones that we had seen, that this one on substance points. If you were to take those 14-year-old kids that we had in here in this studio when we had after the first
debate,
that was a bunch of teenagers from Brooklyn who said, this is how you grade a debate. It's not this thing up here where you say who looked at the camera better and who did this. A debate is on points. Well, this was a bludgeoning. I mean, body blows all around.
Oh, yeah.
And if I was Bush's friend, I would have felt sorry for him. He's taking him. You got to help him out.
Oh, that on top of the spit. Right. Oh, this is bad.
Well,
rough night.
Then I get to the end of the debate, and because I'm watching it on the rerun, I get the talking heads on MSNBC are still there, and the universal reaction from all of those pundits was, well, it seemed like a tie to me, pretty even, and this was well before any of the viewer polls had come in.
Right.
You know, remember, I'm watching it on a rerun here.
Right.
These people who are looking into your lives here, into your homes, and you are relying on them for news analysis, are telling you nothing and are afraid to come out and tell you anything because they don't want to wait until these returns have come in and we can see, oh, okay, now the polls have said this, it's okay to talk about this. It's
we need to see how you think, and then we can base our opinion on what we think you think. But mostly we just want you to keep watching, so the closer it is and the less we talk about, the better it is for us.
Absolutely. And Larson made a great point in that these guys are so in a bubble that they are trying to assess how are voters going to look at this, not what happened in the debate.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
These are guys that have just talked for 90 minutes about things that are really important to each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So where was the talk about that? No, it was the talk about, well, who connected better and who did this better. And it enrages me that there are lots of people, and I'm not going to fault them, that watched a baseball game last night, that were going to rely on the news to supply them with information, and it wasn't there. So, I mean, forgive me for just going off like
this. Oh, that's right.
But we sit here every day, and we digest this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it makes me angry when I feel like we are doing a better job of informing the public of what they need to know.
Yeah, no wonder they're
uninformed. Wait a minute, why should that make you angry? Well, it makes me angry because we're not getting paid what they're getting paid.
Oh, but also,
well,
that is really
getting
paid. But also another reason is the broader public outlet for information where people are supposed to be informed from the news, from broadcast news, they're supposed to report to people and put out information.
Right,
that
there's
is
a
important
legacy there. Right.
It's gone. Let's take a caller or two here. Dale in Tennessee, how are you?
Hey, Dale.
Yeah. I'm a sculptor now, but years ago I was a psychiatric technician in the military,
uh-huh.
And people keep noticing his smirk. And the reason you're noticing that is we have a symptom called an inappropriate smile.
Uh-huh.
That's where someone smiles at a time that people don't normally smile, and you pick up on it subliminally if anything else.
Yeah.
But it's like saying, yeah, our people are dying out there, and a smile.
Yeah.
You know, we're suffering, and a smile.
Yeah.
This is not the behavior of a normal person.
What is it covering up? What is it hiding? What does the device mean?
Well, I don't know what it's hiding, but it's something you would definitely notice. You'd definitely mark it in the nursing notes. You know, patient is talking about beating his wife and smiling. You know, it's just not something you should be doing. Or talking about the time that he wrecked his car into a school bus and he smiled at that. You know, I need to note that on the nursing notes.
Right. Not only does he smile, but he's got that weird chimpy laugh.
Yeah, exactly. And this is normal people do not do that. It's just the sort of thing you normally notice is people that have an emotional problem.
Right. Thank you very much for your call. Psychological technician who's now a sculptor.
Wow.
I'm sort of interested more about that guy's life.
Right. Yeah,
I got tired of molding people's brains, you see, and that got boring to me, so I started to bring it out into the world.
You know, Brendan, the thing that you brought up, I keep thinking back to when Al Sharpton spoke to the Democratic Convention, and all of the people, certainly on CNN afterwards, got into, well, did he exceed his time?
He took too much time.
Yeah,
that's a great example of that.
It's the same thing because the media is looking out for itself. We operate sometimes under the delusion that they're looking out for us or that they're really about transmitting information to us. What they are really about is making sure that things are interesting and entertaining enough so they make money.
Yeah, that was the shift from news to show business.
Yeah.
That, I think, happened, 10 or 12 years ago, that, you know, when you started seeing actual news shows about entertainment and actual news shows became entertainment.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we've got Republican commercials that try to look like news.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the credibility of it, and that was another weird thing, is that, you know, Bush took a shot at
the media.
Yeah,
sank like a rock.
Got no laughs at all, and he was playing to his base. You know, there are certain news establishments that still have integrity. I mean, you know, CNN is not one of them. Some of the basic cable outlets that you were talking about aren't one of them, because they're all about, you know, having these commentators just blather on to hold viewers, not about passing on information. Like,
yeah, I mean, I watch C-SPAN, man. I don't watch the analysts afterwards. I watch the instructions at the beginning, and I turn the television off as soon as the applause starts. So that way you're really not, your mind doesn't get polluted with everybody else's opinion. You can make up your own mind.
Yeah, and they stick more blitzer in front of those screaming people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're sitting there trying to do a news show, and they're like, four more years.
Because all those people thought they were in a college football Today show. That's why.
Hey, Mr. President, what about Osama bin Laden?
I don't know where he is. I just don't spend that much time on him. And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, again, I don't know where he is.
There it is.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Right.
Thanks, Brendan. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks, Brendan.
No problem.
Right there is the liberal agenda, and here are your marching orders for today, direct from the Streisand compound.
One, new nicknames for Bush. Old Spit Bubble. Saliva Boy. Slobbermouth. Das Spitmeister. Dr. Drool. The Swerpster. Two, ladies, start a healthy forest initiative for your underarm hair. Three, demand that... Good morning, San Francisco. Three, demand that mattress manufacturers be held legally liable for all the Americans who die in their sleep. Good point. Four, support the Red Sox in the ALCS because Yankee smacks of imperialism. Support the Astros in the NLCS and not the Cardinals because of the Catholic overtones. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, you know what causes all the drooling, don't you? Rabies. Actually, he should be put down, man. That's what I say.
Yeah. You heard Kayla go, yeah, when he said something about the Red Sox.
What do we got tomorrow there, Mark?
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, how should America be fighting Osama bin Laden the way John Kerry wants to, or the way George W. Bush has failed to? We'll talk to an FBI veteran about the different strategies. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See you, Marin.
Bye, Riley.